Thank you. All right, to lead our pledge, we have Megan, who's come with Zoe, who is our business person for the day. So we're going to have sort of a combination here. But Megan's going to lead the pledge, and then we'll hear from Zoe. Pull the microphone down. Pull it down. There you go. Okay.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Megan.
Hi, thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to come before everyone. I am with Chablis. We are the dinner cruise boat that's down on the Embarcadero. We've been in business here in Morro Bay for almost a year and a half. We're coming up on it quick. We are a family-run, owned, and operated business. We have about almost 10 local employees that we have now with us, everything from captaining to wait staff and kitchen staff. We also try to do as much as we can for the local businesses as far as referring people to local hotels, buying fish from the local fishermen, and all our vegetables from farmers market and stuff like that, really trying to get people to be aware of Morro Bay and its surroundings. And Megan would like to tell you about our local special that we offer.
The first Sunday of every month, we're having a special $5 off for the locals for our Sunday brunch.
Yep. So thank you. Be sure to come on down and visit us.
Whoops. Can't get my mic on. Thank you. Okay, on other announcements, Sergeant Dave Bergansel very gallantly let Megan lead the pledge, but Dave, would you please come up forward? Like to recognize special things that all of our employees do, and Sergeant Bergansel deserves this. He received a commendable performance memo from the chief. Do you want to tell him about it, John?
Sure. This was a kind of a unique situation where a resident of Morro Bay had her daughter that went to the hospital and suddenly was undergoing emergency brain surgery. And she got a call and didn't know where the hospital was. And, you know, when you're in a panic mode thinking, I need to get down there, and didn't have a computer or internet, so didn't know how to get directions, so she called the Los Angeles Police Department, and they said, sorry, we don't have the time to deal with that on the phone. She called the Los Angeles County Fire Department. They couldn't help her, so then she called our department, and one of our dispatchers put her through to Dave, who was the watch commander, and so Dave says, well, hang on a second. Let me see what I can do for you. So he got on the internet and Googled the hospital, found the hospital first, and Googled it, got the driving directions and printed them out, and actually got in his police car and drove him down to the resident at her house. And then she was able to leave right away and go find the hospital. So we thought that was pretty commendable performance from Dave to go above and beyond.
Well, and I got a call from this lady the next day, and she was just about in tears of gratitude for you that they got there, their daughter woke up, and they were able to be there when she woke up because of your help. So I just wanted everybody to know that this is the kind of people we have working here, and thank you so much, Dave. That was wonderful.
Well, thank you very much. It was just a privilege to help out when I could. You know, if I was in that same situation, I would be happy to have someone help me as well. So it was a privilege to help her in whatever way we could. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, other announcements. Each year, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission conducts an integrated assessment of nuclear power plant performance, and I always announce when they're having their meetings in case anyone's interested in going. Their meeting on the performance for Diablo Canyon is scheduled for Wednesday, July 2nd at 2:30 at the Embassy Suites Hotel in San Luis Obispo. So anybody that's interested, that was that information. And other announcements. Betty?
We had what was supposed to have been our next-to-last meeting of the Leadership Council on the Chronic Homelessness 10-Year Plan for the county, which includes all the cities. Ms. Luker and I are members of that. And tonight there will be somewhat of a presentation about that, but to know that to the council that we will be coming back with a plan for you to examine and hopefully approve in the next couple of months, and hope that you will see the part that Morro Bay needs to play in this bigger picture for the whole county.
Okay. Bill?
Nope.
Rick? Melody? Okay, then if I could have Stephen Lamb please come forward. And I have to apologize. I got a disc about this, and I didn't realize that was the disc they wanted to use at this meeting, so it's somewhere at home on my desk.
So that'll be the coming attraction in 2 weeks.
Okay.
We'll show the disc. And I'm delighted to be here. My name is Stephen Lamb. I'm the Associate Director of Student Life and Leadership at Cal Poly. And as a part of that responsibility, I do a lot of work with the community, sending students out to do the community service. And that's how I really became involved with issues of homelessness. Cal Poly students staff the Echo Shelter in North County. About one-third of the volunteers there are Cal Poly students. They also staff the Maxine Lewis and the Overflow Shelter in San Luis Obispo. You might be interested to know that tonight both shelters are full. Westpac Corporation in Morro Bay is also full, so there's no room in the end. And that really, I think, underscores the larger issue that we're struggling with community by community as we try to build a master blueprint to address chronic homelessness within the county. That process is really exciting, and I'm really thrilled to be a part of it. I am the chair of the Homeless Services Coordinating Council for the county, and I got involved with that because of the volunteers that we put out in the shelters. And one of the reasons I became the chair is that I'm not a service provider. So there wasn't a competition from my perspective for resources, and I was able to facilitate dialogue. And for the last 8 years, about 70 different service agencies have convened together to try to come up with a comprehensive way of dealing with homelessness. And quite frankly, they haven't been very effective, because in situations of resource scarcity, nonprofit agencies struggle with other nonprofit agencies, and it becomes not as collaborative an environment as it might be. So what's exciting about this initiative that now is engaging city governments and county government, as well as service providers, is that it's getting all the right people at the table. The 10-year plans to end chronic homelessness are happening across the nation. They're a requirement of HUD. If a county, an urban county jurisdiction, is to get HUD money. So for us to be in compliance and to get the just under $900,000 that we do annually, San Luis Obispo needed to engage and have conversations with the municipalities to create this plan. The blueprint you're going to see is coordinated by a woman named Marty Fleetwood, who directs Home Base, which is a company that just helps communities like San Luis Obispo County develop 10-year initiatives. The notion of a 10-year initiative takes a little bit of ease of the normity of the problem of homelessness away, because it means that we can have incremental steps towards trying to address homelessness in our jurisdictions. One of the things that we found out in 2006 is that we did a point-in-time survey, an enumeration of the homeless in the county, and we came up with a census of 2,700. 801 were children, and that was a shocking sort of statistic and revelation, because most people look at chronic homelessness and they think that it's the guy on the corner with a brown bag. And certainly, probably in the 1970s, that was who was homeless in America. Who's homeless in America now are families that are falling into unemployment, are women and children, women who have been in domestic violence situations, women who have been in divorce situations, lost all their resources, and the children that are connected with those family units. So it's a very, very different sort of social issue that we need to address. The other thing that I think is interesting to note is that the only thing this broad group of people have in common who are homeless is that they don't have a roof over their head. Within that population, you have folks that are mentally ill, you have folks with substance abuse, again, you have the small families that have fallen off of the working situation. So for a myriad of reasons, you have people that don't have shelter. And so you need really very comprehensive and very unique interventions if we're going to address the complexity of the issue. So we will be dialoguing with you in the next 2 weeks and the months to come. The goal is to have every municipality approve the 10-year plan as well as the county, and that will give us a blueprint together as a community to try to address this huge issue, which no single jurisdiction really has the resources to do. So thank you. That's the introduction, and we'll show the video next time.
Thank you. I do apologize. Okay, and then we have police and fire reports tonight.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I guess we'll do fire first here. First off, I want to thank the community for being fire safe this past weekend. We had some excessively high temperatures, quite unusual for this area, and we were fortunate to not have any fires in our city. We did have a very, very busy weekend. We had 18 calls on Friday, a total of 34 emergency incidents over a three-day period, which for us is extremely busy. Our OES engine did head out of town on Sunday again. It's up in the Julia Pfeiffer Burns area north of the Monterey County line. There were a number of lightning strikes with new fires up there. In fact, there's fires all the way to the Oregon border. They had about 500 lightning strikes, potentially 300 to 400 new fires. Most of those were kept small, but some of them did get beyond the incipient stage. So we encourage everybody to continue to be vigilant and fire safe. The red flag warning for our area here still continues through Wednesday, especially in the mountains in the inland valleys of San Luis County. The last thing I wanted to mention is we are going to have our CAL FIRE workshop on July 12th. That'll be at the community center at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's a Saturday. We encourage the public to come out in droves and participate in this very important issue on whether our community will stay with a local fire department as Morro Bay Fire Department, or will we contract with CAL FIRE for those fire services. And we look forward to that participation. And with that, I'll turn it over to Police Chief John DeRohan.
Thanks, Mike. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Got some good news to share. On June 4th, we had another child safety seat check at Spencer's Market, coordinated by our very own Hank Roth. And it involved multi-agencies, as the previous ones have done. And our volunteers and neighborhood watchers and everybody was there. I think they did 20 seats that they checked, and they found something like 8 out of compliance. So it was good. On Saturday, we had another great annual neighborhood watch barbecue at Del Mar Park. The weather turned out to be absolutely great. For some reason, Morro Bay's temperatures lowered into the low 80s when the rest of the county was still in the hundreds, so we lucked out. And there was a great attendance there. Real good news, our police explorer group returned from the Las Vegas Explorer competition again. And again brought back several trophies. They competed against 41 teams from California, Nevada, Colorado, and Montana, and took second place overall out of all those 41 teams, which is phenomenal for our little guys here. And this is the third straight year that our explorers finished in the top three overall in this competition. And a lot of this is no doubt in large part due to the dedication and the training that our police officer advisors give this group of young folks. This past year it was, and currently, Corporal Jeremy Douglas and Officer Gene Stewart were the two that went with them and guided them through all this, and I'm sure helped out with how well they did. A couple days ago, we had an unfortunate incident. Thank goodness nobody got hurt, but we had a deer that ran out in front of a police car on Highway 1 when one of our officers was transporting a prisoner to county jail. And obviously the deer ran right out. The officer couldn't avoid striking it. Luckily, nobody got hurt. It could have been a lot worse if the deer came through the windshield or something. But it did do a lot of damage to the front of the police car. But the good news is nobody got hurt. This morning we had a physical agility and written testing for police recruits in order to establish an eligibility list for two anticipated vacancies any day now. And as you know, we've had two officers and backgrounds with other agencies. The next police academy starts on June 28th, so we're trying to fast-track our testing as soon as we can to see if we can meet that deadline by getting a couple new folks in the police academy. And we're also having an oral board for our vacant dispatcher position this week.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. All right. And closed session report. Rob?
Yes, good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, Councilman, in closed session on one item, that was labor negotiations. This is directing the city's position regarding the terms and compensation paid to its employees, specifically the city manager position. And no action was taken on this item that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Okay. And with that, we'll start public comment. As you know, we've been having problems with this buzzer thing being so annoying. So it's just going to light up where you can see it there. And the buzzer's not going to go off, but the red light will. So you're all in the honor system to stop when the red light goes off, okay?
Madam Mayor, may I say, yes, give a brief follow to that announcement?
Sure.
It's come to my attention that somebody who gave public comment or didn't even give public comment, I think, on this topic, but that somebody was harassed after the meeting last time. They were threatened outside. I think that when we disagree with each other, that that is actually an example of democracy. And I think that we need to all have our own opinions and feel safe about having those opinions. So I would really urge you to not make any comments behind people as they come up, no matter what they talk about. And please, for goodness sakes, let's not be threatening each other in such a small town. I didn't think that this did anything of good service to the citizen or to the process in this town. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, staff, and friends at home. My name is Keith Taylor, resident of Morro Bay, friend of the Morro Bay Fire Department. What is he here for this time? Well, I'm here to call attention to a brick program that we have for our Morro Bay Fire Department. I'm going to read this because I can't remember it all. The Friends of the Morro Bay Fire Department are raising money brick by brick so that firefighters can become paramedics. In our community, the emergency services provided by paramedics are vital to you, your family, and your neighbors. There are few scholarships available for paramedic training. The training is both time-consuming and expensive. A community-assisted scholarship will provide much-needed help to our firefighters and will enhance our local safety services. Purchasing a brick will put your permanent mark of support on our community. The bricks will be placed in the ground around our new fire department for all to see. Bricks will be engraved with your personal message. It's a great way to honor your family, friends, or business. Special designs are available. Your contribution is tax deductible. Strengthen our future brick by brick through your purchase today. And the contact for that is Homer Alexander at 772-8004 or Betty Forsyth at 772-0792, or you can go to the fire department or if you see me in town or anybody. But I think this is really a good thing, and what's going to happen, our goal is to sell 500 of these, and if we sell 500, that'll give us a start for we're not going to spend the money we make. We're only going to spend our interest, but it'll allow the chief to pick people that need to go to these paramedic schools. And being one of the old guys, 65 and still alive, I really count on this. So I encourage anybody to do this, and it be the good for all of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Richard Sadowski, citizen North Morro Bay. I'm also a grade 4 wastewater collection system operator, CWA certification holder. I would like to first thank our Public Works Advisory Council for giving Marla, Joe, and myself an opportunity to present our presentation with regards to the nitrate study and the wastewater collection systems on the 18th of June, and it's been on Public Works TV. And I would also respectfully ask if this board, after the presentation, the Public Works Advisory Council recommended that we come to the City Council. They thought it was an important enough issue for our elected officials to also get that presentation. It's about a half-hour presentation with slides, and I would respectfully ask this board to agendize it for the next meeting. And also, I would like to make an announcement that the remediation efforts with regards to the closure of the MTBE monitoring wells had been successfully appealed to the California Coastal Commission, and it's tentatively scheduled for the between the 9th and the 11th of July in San Luis Obispo. So if we can maybe have a presentation to the City Council before then, I think it'd behoove our citizens to be aware of what is happening in our city's water, municipal water system. Once again, I would like to thank that board, Public Works Advisory Council Board, for giving us that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Marla Jo Bruton, North Morro Bay. And I was one of the citizens who made the presentation to the PWAB, Public Works Advisory Board, for those at home that don't know what PWAB is. And I would also like to request that we be agendized on the next meeting schedule or as soon as possible. We had attempted to agendize and present to the Morro Bay City Council on the issues that we have concerning the MTBE remediation work and the severe nitrate pollution that has occurred in our sustainable water source. The Morro Basin nitrate study was done, and we did a rebuttal. I'm also very pretty much heartbroken that here we go with a feeling thing, but I am a grandma. Richard and I did everything that we could once we became aware that the city staff had brought the closeout of 68 monitoring wells of MTBE before the Planning Commission and asked them to approve to send a request for closure to the regional board. And my understanding is that step had to come from the city before the regional board could act on the closeout of the wells. We tried the best we could to have a postponement of that closeout and get everybody on the same page. That did not occur. We instructed the city that we would be filing a Coastal Commission appeal. It had been made in the presentation to the Planning Commission. The staff had said that that project was outside of the appeals jurisdiction of the California Coastal Commission. That was not true. We have had our appeal accepted. There is going to be tentatively a hearing July 9 and July 11, one of those days, in San Luis Obispo. So we're lucky that the Coastal Commission will be here, and I invite all of the public to get on board with this. What we really need is we need the city to understand that the municipal well field is pertinent to every citizen, resident, business, visitor that comes into this city, and that we are all stakeholders, and somehow that did not come across. The beginning of this remediation work in 1999-2000, the Morro Bay City Council, I believe Janice and Bill Pierce, you were on those meetings that were being held in conjunction with Shell and the regional board. All the way through this process, the Morro Bay City Council has been involved. And then to slip it through at Planning Commission without bringing it to you, our elected officials, I believe was a breach. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Council. I'm Jim Nance, a resident of Morro Bay. I'd like to thank Richard and Marla Joe for the work that they've been doing, and I appreciate what they have been doing. It's too bad that it can't be this, that the staff can't be more involved with these issues and them and getting some of these things solved. There is a one item, too. I was wondering about the authorization to enter into a contract with General Electric Water for brackish water treatment. That's over $500,000, and that's just for the equipment. There's going to be more expenses to for the operation, and I think that should be. I think it should be more competitive and bid and be bidded on, as water is going to be the oil of the future, and these large corporations know it. The other thing I'd like to address is the primary. The primary election is expensive for the candidates. It's that doubles their cost to run for office. Special interests have actually, I think, were behind getting this on the ballot and getting it passed. Also, I'd like the city to let us know what it costs. There's been all kinds of rumors that it's $10,000, $100,000. I would really like to know what it costs the residents in the city of Morro Bay for this, and I'd like the city to look into putting on the ballot to repeal it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Good evening. My name is Joan Solu. I'm a Morro Bay resident, and I'm here today on behalf of Del Mar PTA. I just came today to extend our personal thanks to the mayor and city council, the police and fire chief and their staff for showing up on the last day of school for the second annual Ride of a Lifetime. I have some photographs here, and I just want to show that this is the kids when they got off the trolley at the Rock, and they were pretty darn excited. They were pretty darn excited, and that is a picture that is going to the trolley office, to Susan, who's right behind me. And then they got even more excited. We lined them up, got them in a little bit more, got a police officer in there with them, the mayor, the flags went up. We got some great coverage from Judy Salamanca from the Sun Bulletin. And then finally, these fire guys got in on it. And that's where our second and third graders ended up, with a lovely view of the Rock. And I don't know if you can see this, but even Betty's dogs got in on the action there. So it was a great time, and the Whitecaps band, again, were outstanding meeting us out there. It was a fantastic thing, and the parents who showed up, who had never seen this before, couldn't believe it. Over and over again, all I heard was, only in Morro Bay could our city come together and do this. These are good, fun-loving kids, and these are the future of your city, and I just thank you for taking part in their lives.
Thank you.
It's a
pleasure.
Good evening, Mayor Peters and City Council. I'm here tonight. I'm Susan Brown, General Manager of Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride, and I'm here to speak in behalf of transit riders in Morro Bay. I'm in favor of the City Council sending a letter to the Governor of California recommending that he does not cut the state transit funds to the transit assistant funds. The Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride riders filled out postcards like this one recently, and they expressed their wishes. All of them were unanimously for keeping the transit funds. Transit ridership is up, and the funds were designed to cover the increased costs and demands for transit services when the gas prices are high like they are. Some of these cards, I'm going to read a couple of them. We got, it says, from one rider, I ride Dial-A-Ride every day to work. Without Dial-A-Ride, it would be hard to get to the other bus to get to work. Please don't cut Dial-A-Ride funds. As being disabled, it would be very hard for me and for others. Here's another one. It says, my family depends on the transit here in Morro Bay. Gas prices are outrageous. We believe in ride sharing. Do not cut the STA funds. Here's one more. It says, Dial-A-Ride's essential for Morro Bay. We're non-drivers. We're well-served. Many handicapped and working folks and wheelchairs especially need it. Another one says, public transportation is one of the most important things necessary to the working poor and keeps people from losing jobs due to inability to get to their place of work. So that's just an example of many of them, the people that say that this is their car, and so we don't want to have to cut any of our service, and we hope that you'll convey that to the governor. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Dorothy Cutter, and I want to speak to item D2. I think it's very appropriate for the city council to put a measure on the ballot in November to do away with the primary. And the reason it's very appropriate to not make citizens run out and get signatures is because the city has to pay for this, and we're supposed to be cutting costs. So I've talked to many people who signed that who didn't really realize what they were signing. And once they knew, they were really very sorry that they had signed that. And also at the time, I think that when asked, some of the people who were passing out those petitions said that there would be no significant cost, but I think there is. So I would hope that you would put this on the ballot, and I hope that more citizens speak. After all, we don't want to have signs all over the city forever and ever, and all the extra expenses for the people who are running. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, Beverly Abbey, Morro Bay resident. Hello, City Council and Mayor, staff. I would like to request your consideration of the repeal of the primary election on the November 2008 ballot. I'll be brief in stating the negative impacts and constraints of enduring such a lengthy election process. Number one, the estimated projected cost for Morro Bay was stated by our city attorney at $35,000, and I believe that this is money we can ill afford to continue as on an ongoing process. Number two, the primaries typically produce low voter turnout and public apathy, and this was very evident with the large slate of candidates and more ongoing confusion to many citizens as to who is in and who is out even now. Number three, the fundraising for the candidates and the citizens becomes very difficult when consideration for sufficient monies covers a nine-month election period. The political signage was a problem, becomes a problem now, as candidates and citizens distribute, remove, and then redistribute their campaign literature. There are still some signs up in my neighborhood for candidates that are not even in the final running. Over this lengthy period, many think it's unsightly, and the tourists certainly wonder what we are doing with our process. And lastly, I believe that unless the mayoral position is rotated or on a four-year term, this process now takes practically half the person's time in seeking re-election, taking considerable time away and the focus from mayoral issues. Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Peters, Council. My name is Linda Merrill. I'd like to make a comment about consent items 10 through 13, and I the reason I'm bringing this up is I'm wondering if an increase in the lease site revenue along the waterfront isn't in order. Everything is increasing in costs, and the city needs to keep up with the times. Please rethink these lease site amounts. Also, I've lived through our first primary in this city, and I talked to so many people from all over the state, really. They come to visit, and I have a tendency to give out literature in front of our markets, and the people just could not believe what we were doing. They were just, what? A primary for Morro Bay. So also the candidates, some of them, who were unsuccessful, good candidates, just said, you know, I don't know how I could possibly, if I had gone on, to be able to go on, that it's just so burdensome. So please rethink this and do think about putting it on the ballot. Thank you. Also, I am concerned about Dial-A-Ride. I know a lot of seniors, and it's their only transportation, a lot of people. So I hope that we can keep the fares low, however you all have to do that, to work that in our budget or whatever. And thank you all very much for being proactive and writing the letter to our governor. Also, about recyclables at the Rock, we have four, I have to use my hands, we have four garbage containers. And if one of those could be designated for recyclables only, and the other three can be just regular trash, trust me, I think people would toss their things into it because they won't walk over to the restrooms, even though that was a brilliant idea, and I think we are getting some help with that. But please consider that, designating one of those. And I really want to thank, is this doing anything?
No, this one.
Oh. I also want to thank Morro Bay Beautiful. They're just doing a terrific job of getting the word out about litter. As I go out to the Rock almost every day, and I take my little litter picking up container thing, and there just isn't any litter. So I come home, and my husband says, well, where's the litter? And I said, well, there isn't any. So then I go over to Spencer's or someplace, and I pick up some litter. But I've usually managed to find some litter, but, you know, Morro Bay Beautiful is just doing a terrific job with them. They'll let you know at the Rock. So thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you. Anyone else? No.
Yes. Good evening. I'm Chanel Channing. I'm the clinical social worker for West Coast Housing. And I just want to encourage people next week definitely to watch the presentation by Stefan Lamb and Cal Poly about the 10-year plan for homelessness. We're very excited about it. I mean, if they can do it in Santa Barbara and they can do it in Sacramento, we feel very encouraged they can do it in this county. Also, I'd like to mention, since it's being brought up about Dial-A-Ride, that a lot of times homes and group homes really rely on that. We can't get the insurance. Insurance is very difficult as far as transportation, so we really rely on that. And so we would encourage, in order to help these people have transportation, to keep Dial-A-Ride if we can keep it going in our public transportation. One thing I've noticed, and I say it very often at our homeless committees as well as various agencies, is we really have a carless problem. And when people don't have a car, very often they don't get their doctor appointments, they don't get their Social Security, they don't get the general assistance, and it can be very much a detriment to their health. And the next thing you know, they're cycling through emergency rooms. And so as we can get them on their appointments, we can actually save a lot of money. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Wow, ahead of 7 o'clock. We'll bring it back to council and we'll actually start consent. Which is good, because I think people are probably going to be on
follow-up comments, so please.
Oh, okay. Comments? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, because I looked at it. I saw Janine here in the audience who handles our recycling efforts, and a nod of the head about that idea about recycling down at the Rock. Is that a possibility that we could convert one of the trash cans into recycling? We don't have nearly enough recycling in public places around town, so.
In the past, we had recycling containers down at the Rock next to the public garbage containers. And this did create some problems with overflow from the garbage. People were throwing them in there. So the garbage company and staff down at the Harbor Department, I believe, had met to come up with the solution, which seemed to have been working up until this point. But it is something that we can take a look at again to see if there's some other configuration that might work. My only concern would be that we might go back to the way it was, where the recycling container is used for trash instead of the recycling. But maybe one other thing we can consider is having some signage pointing more specifically to where the recycling is located. Some people may not be aware of its new location.
Well, I know that people get confused. When I was at the music festival, they put the trash and the recycling next to one another, and people didn't seem to discriminate and threw it into whatever. So I think signage and education are important things, but I think it's also important, especially in areas removed from the town like The Rock, that it's really important to make sure that things get into the trash bin and that the trash gets recycled to the greatest extent possible.
Madam,
did you want to add something, Ruth?
Yeah, if I don't mind, and thank you, Janine, Councilmember DeMeritt. Yeah, we did replace those smaller recycling units that were at The Rock. Those were felt to be not very effective. They were full of trash, and they just were no longer being used for recycling. What we did put out there was some large recycling, the blue I guess you'd call them containers, you know, a large dumpster kind of thing that are labeled as recycling. And the Frank Silva did report to me that he's getting a lot more recycling than we previously did at the Rock area from those large blue ones. And I think your point is taken that perhaps we could sign it better. It was the biggest weekend we've ever seen at the Rock and the beach. The parking lot was absolutely full on Saturday, really quite remarkable. So the trash up and down the Embarcadero was a huge issue Saturday afternoon. We had some people helping, luckily, to clean it all up. But so I'm not sure if anything worked especially well this weekend, but the recycling, our report from Morro Bay Garbage Company was that the system that we put in place was working better.
Okay. Madam Mayor, if I could add to that, at the Neighborhood Watch picnic at Del Mar Park on Saturday, Mr. Roth had the foresight to bring recycling container with him because there isn't any at our parks, and that might be the next area to look at after the Rock and the Embarcadero. We need to, get, of all places in our picnic areas in our state, in our city parks, we need some recycling.
Good point. Anything else? All right. Consent agenda. First of all, item A11 has been pulled. And did any council members want to pull anything else? Betty, you want to start? And we'll see if there's anything left after that.
Sure. I need to make a correction to one of the minutes. So A1, A3, and A4. excuse me. I actually still have a question about A9, about the contract for the brackish water, but I'm not sure that that wouldn't be answered. I don't know if Mr. Boucher's not here, so maybe I'll just wait and talk to him tomorrow. Would that be the appropriate way to handle that? I just didn't get the figures to match up.
Is that it?
I'm sorry, and I would like to ask that A through, I know 11's been pulled, but A10 through 14, I had asked to agendize, and I think it ended up on closed session agenda, that we talk about our lease sites and our approach to that. And with the multitude that's here tonight, I almost would like to see, I definitely would like to see us postpone these until we have that discussion in closed session. Because it's about that, and these are all things that are coming up at the end of the year, so I think putting it off another 2 weeks isn't an issue for that.
All right.
I'm pulling them.
Anything else you want to pull for discussion, Phil?
No.
Rick? Melody? Was there anything else you want to pull?
It's fine.
Okay. I actually want to pull A5 and A6 very quickly. Let's go through the ones we can get to before 7 o'clock so we can start our public hearings. Betty, A1?
Well, would you like me to approve
let's
A2?
Have a motion. Let's have a motion approving A2,
7,
A7, A8, and 9.
So moved.
No, she decided not to pull it. Okay, we have a motion, a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? None. All right, Betty, A1.
A1 is with the minutes on May 27th on page 10. I believe you got a handout from Ms. Bauer. And as I think we all will recall, that the intent in terms of noticing for the CAL FIRE workshop was that everyone in town get noticed. And so I would just like to have, as you can see in our minutes, that it's not that we'll do water bills or noticing. It'll be water bills and or direct noticing. So those who don't get water bills will be noticed regardless. And whether we choose to notice everyone through their home or whether we do part through water bills and part through the public. But that was certainly the intent when I made the motion and was part of the discussion. So unless there's an exception or a question, I would move the approval of B3 as amended, the minutes that included the old B3.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. All right. And A3, Betty?
A3.
Is that a quick one or is that a discussion item?
It's probably fairly simple. Okay. I did get information back on that, and I maybe didn't need to pull it. I think it's important to point out that, if you didn't, or maybe everyone did see that this is not increasing the pay increase for the next person, and that anyone that goes through the process is eligible. And that just was real important for me to be clarified, so we knew what was happening.
And A3 has...
know what you're talking about.
This was approval for the creation of a wastewater treatment plant grade 2 operator lab analyst position.
Okay.
And it seemed as though we were creating a new position. It's a person that's currently doing the job that's getting credit for doing that.
Okay. All right. Any other comments on that one? You want to do the motion, Betty?
So I would move approval of A3.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. And A4.
A4 is, I would like to add to this that this is approval for the month-to-month extension of the video productions by AGP for our recording of our meetings. And I would like to make sure that this is not a tentative item that comes on the agenda that may or may not show up in September. But I think it's important for us to let APG know that we're serious about getting this taken care of this year, and that hopefully they're scurrying around to get their documents in. And I would like that in this approval that we say that it will come back in September. And if that's too far out, then there's a definite deadline of October. But I'd really like to put an amendment to this approval that it be not come as tentatively coming in September, but that it will come back in September. Well, it doesn't really include that, Mr. Grantham, in the motion. It just says that they are working toward it. And then the last paragraph in the conclusion says that it will remain on our tentative agenda in case there is movement to get it done. But I want that it will get done. It's if we wait, even within September, it's almost 2 years behind at that point.
All right, why don't you make a motion?
Okay. I would move approval of the month-to-month extension of the video production services and local government channel insertion point management agreement with the AGP Video, and that it come back to us at a date certain, which would be the last meeting of September at the latest.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. All right. A5 is the one that I pulled. And this is the letter to the governor about the state transit assistance. I'm totally in agreement with sending it, but there was one thing that I wanted to add. And that's on the first page, second paragraph, last sentence. Even though the city is experiencing its own financial difficulties, I'd like to add the word critical between own and financial, because financial difficulties are pretty common right now. I think critical states it a little more strongly for Morro Bay. And so if I have council agreement on that, I will move that we approve it with that correction.
And I would, since you pulled
addition.
It, yeah, I would insert one more item, and that's on the first line of the next paragraph, right before the word $20,000 decrease,
mm-hmm.
that we stick in that that's a 50%. Like that $20,000 is actually a 50% decrease, and if we could stick in that number, 50%.
Okay.
Just
so after decrease in parentheses, put 50%?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Of total or something. Okay. I would move that we accept the letter with those two additions.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. And A6, this one I pulled just for information because I wanted people to know. It's been a request from some people. Again, it's a transportation issue. It's a resolution granting a certificate of public conveyance and necessity to serve cab. We will actually finally, hopefully, have a cab service in Morro Bay, which will be a real advantage to some people, because especially with limited hours on Dial-A-Ride and some of our other transportation, it'll be a real help. So that's going to happen too, and I would move approval of A6.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right, now we get to 8. That one got approved. 9 got approved. All right, the others, well, we can try. All right, so Betty pulled A10 through A13.
It should be through 14, all the lease sites.
Well, 11 has already been pulled off.
Yes.
So. 10. I'm sorry, to 14. Yes, I'm sorry, 14.
Yeah.
10 to 14.
Yeah. So I don't know. As I was going through these, and if we're just going to do them one at a time, then I'll just make one specific change I'd like to see to all of them. But it seemed to me that in reading over the standard lease that we have, that there are some particular areas that I'd like for us to have some discussion about in terms of fixed terms, in terms of rent, in terms of how we get to where we are in terms of the base, and then how we do the percent over that. And I bring this up in light of the fact that, you know, we did the new lease site with the RV park out here on 41, and looking at the percentage that we asked of them, and then I look at the percentage that we ask here, I would like to have that policy discussion about how we go about doing that. We haven't talked about that as long as I've been on the council. It's been 6 years, and it's just something we've gone on and on about. And as we get ready to make these changes, and here we have you know, 5 leases up right now that we're talking about that will be settled on, that maybe this is something we could postpone for 2 weeks and have that discussion at next closed session.
All right. Is anyone else in favor of that postponement?
I am, yes, because these are long lease arrangements of 20 years with no perceived increase in revenue. And I think Councilmember Winholtz is right. We did have quite a long negotiation with another leaseholder recently, and we were looking for revenue for the city. So I think that this probably would be something to have an appropriate discussion and closed, and then bring these back.
Okay. Bill or Rick, comments?
Madam Mayor, could we ask the either the city attorney or the harbor director? I do believe there are increases in rent built into this, but I could be wrong.
Rick, you want to respond to that?
So there would be a different answer depending on which item. A10, for example, is pretty much a status quo situation. That's A10 is a resolution to approve a 20-year lease agreement for lease site 134 and 136 at 1245 Embarcadero with Tognazzini family. That's Tognazzini's dockside restaurant. There's a similar agenda item, which is A12. That's for Krill's right next door. Those two are an old abalone processing plant that those businesses have been in place, and the restaurant, those businesses have been in place many years, at least the type of operation, and they are in the Measure D zone. So where typically when a lease would have come up to expiration like this, the tenant would have been encouraged to present a redevelopment concept. That wasn't available to these tenants because of the Measure D zoning. They're nonconforming leases that are not allowed to expand. We would have looked at this like a building lease, but because the city, and in which case, much like the trailer park, where we would say, well, the improvements would revert to the city, we should charge a higher percentage rent. But in these cases with these folks, we determined that the highest priority for the city is attempt to redevelop them. And so what we did was we wrote in a clause at the very end, instead of trying to go to a building type lease and or secure some kind of redevelopment, we wrote in a clause that the city in the back has the right to terminate these leases on 1 year's notice if we can develop a commercial fishing infrastructure project at the sites and relocate them at then market rate rents. So it's a bit of a different strategy, a different situation because of the zoning. You have another agenda item, which I believe is A14, which is the redevelopment of 501 Embarcadero. That will add significantly to revenues, both from in the harbor fund through increased rents and sales tax and TOT to the general fund.
Okay. Does that explain that?
I knew all that, and that's great. If we don't want to set this aside, what I will do is make a motion that the paragraph that's at the front of section 2.03 in each of the contracts It's specifically for A14, the lease site. Is that the held lease site? The sterile landing lease site? That introductory paragraph be added to the other leases then. So they're all being treated the same on this. And what that says is that every 5 years, the base rate will be readjusted. And I think that that's equitable to say that in all of them. That a new minimum rent can be set?
Yeah, on A10 and A12, the minimum, there's a standard clause in all our standard leases which says that the rent will be adjusted with CPI, and the next clause says it also will be adjusted by appraisal every 5 years. And the new rent will either be the 8% of the appraised amount annually or 75% of the total rent paid. In the case of the two leases for Tognazzini Dockside Restaurant and Creel's Taffy, we did have the CPI increases, but we did not include the reappraisal because the appraisals in the area, Measure D area, are very low. And when we do the calculation, their minimum rent would actually be, I think last year it was approximately $7,000 for the restaurant, $7,000 or $8,000. Now their effective rent is always the percentage rent, which we included in here. The total rent from the restaurant last year was $23,000, I think. But what we did when we negotiated these leases, we basically set the minimum rent at the 75% number, and then deleted that clause that would have had them reappraise it, would have had us reappraise it at our cost, approximately $800, because. Foreseeable into the foreseeable distance, I don't see those appraisals changing unless Measure D changes. Now, you do have an item in front of you tonight that might change the zoning there and might change the appraisals in the future. If you did want to add those clauses back, we would have to go back and revisit that with the tenants. I don't expect they'd have a problem with it. I don't see any problem with adding those clauses in. It was just to save $800 every 5 years in the city because they were unnecessary in these two sites.
Well, and I would add something, too, that both of these leases are going to contribute to the Harbor Walk, and that's an additional advantage that ultimately will be for the city, and they are paying for that in terms of the leases.
I was just trying to look at equity across the board, mm-hmm. and I understand that one area is a little bit different from the other, but they're all still paying the lease and supposed to all still be contributing, I would hope, with the same level of or percentage as the others. My other item then regarding this was that, and this has probably been in there forever. It's a standard statement, but it does say that as the CPI goes up or down, that then that's what their adjustment is. And my guess, the CPI hasn't gone down for a while. But I as a renter, my landlord would never think of lowering my rent. And if the CPI is stagnant, then it stays where it is, but it would never go down. So at the least, maybe we could delete and the decrease part of that then when we talk in the paragraph on the CPI.
Okay, anyone else in the council want to go along with that?
Well, I think that's a very interesting idea to say that should the CPI increase, but not should the CPI decrease, we would remain flat then. And I think it would be that we would adjust upwards only on rent, because she's right. I don't think anybody in their right mind lowers rents, especially when their own costs are going up. So I would be in agreement with that.
Is that going to mean a whole rediscussion about this with the tenant?
It probably. I mean, I don't know whether they would agree to it or not. We'd have to negotiate it. You could agree on that being changed, and if it's comes back and the tenant doesn't agree on it, we can bring it back. They increase, decrease. We redid our master lease. We hired a real estate firm in San Francisco, I believe about 5 years ago, to look at our standard lease that we had been using and rewrote it. And standard at that time for commercial leases was to have the decrease or increase that occurs on commercial leases. But, I mean, that doesn't mean it has to be done.
Okay. And I would concur with that just as a comment. I actually would not recommend that you make that change. I think that's a standard. And the compendium of all our rents, it's primarily made up in these sites, percentage rent, the CPI. It would be an extraordinary economic situation where you had a CPI that started going down. I don't think any of us have known it in our lifetime. I can't remember in my 50 years. But Not inconceivable, but certainly the situation would be a very strange economic one for us. And there would be something going on where it may very well, with all the rents being reset to 75% of percentage or the appraisal, in this case not the appraisal, but at least that in general, that clause is valid in a standard commercially.
Okay. Why don't you make a motion, and we'll see if it goes anywhere.
All right. I would move two parts. One, I would move that all leases, including these and from now on, that Section 2.05 of leases have the introductory paragraph that talks about the end of the initial 5 years, and of each five-year period thereafter, a new minimum rent shall be calculated for the following five-year period. And I can get this to Ms. Bauer. And then secondly, I would delete the words "and decreases" in the paragraph that relates to the CPI adjustment.
Okay, do I hear a second?
Second.
Let me correct that. You said 2.05 and you meant 2.03.
I'm sorry, yes, I did mean 2.03. Thank you very much.
Okay,
second
discussion.
Again.
Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. 3-2, motion fails.
Mm-hmm. Move approval of A10.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Can we have individual discussion on these?
Were you opposed on A10?
Are we having discussions on these?
Okay, we can have.
I'm just asking, are you doing them one by one or as a group?
All right.
I didn't understand.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Them one by one. Okay, A10.
Okay.
So we'll be going back to discuss that one?
We had a vote on it.
We had a 3-2. But I didn't know what her vote was. She said aye when I asked.
Well, I'm sorry. I was collecting my thoughts. I wasn't listening, so I didn't hear if you were doing all of them at the same time or just one at a time.
All right.
And you've decided to do them one at a time.
Yes.
Okay.
It might be nice, as it is after 7 o'clock at this point, to just let these go till later and start the public hearings. And then we can kind of gather ourselves and think about this.
You certainly couldn't come back to A12 or A13, but A10 was
out there.
Was voted on approval of it.
And what was the vote?
3-2.
Was it? I didn't know whether that was her vote or not. That's what I was confused about.
It was 3-2.
3-2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
So A10 was approved. 3-2.
The 3-2.
Okay. All right. And you want discussions on the other three?
Well, I'm sorry. I missed the discussion on A10. I would have said something. But it is what it is.
And you want discussions on the other three?
Well, my concern is that we're approving a 10-year lease with a 20-year lease.
I know
with
that.
No increases.
So you want to pull each one for discussion?
Well,
is what you're what I'm asking. Otherwise, we can approve them now and go to our break in public hearings. If you want to discuss each one separately, then we're going to have to do it later.
Okay, we'll do it later.
All right. All right. So we will work on A12, 13, and 14 later in our meeting. We will take a short break and we will start our public hearings. Started with our public hearings. Item B1, resolution directing the levy of the annual assessment for the Cloisters Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance Assessment District. Andrea.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. This evening, staff is recommending that you adopt resolution 40-08, which will confirm the levy of assessment to fund the maintenance of the Cloisters Park and Open Space. By adopting this resolution, $148,944 will be collected from all property owners in the Cloisters subdivision. Previously, the City Council approved by resolution the engineer's report, which described the anticipated maintenance for the 34 acres of parkland and open space. Prior to tonight's hearing, all property owners on record were noticed regarding the public hearing, as well as notices being published in the local newspaper. Tonight's public hearing is the last of three public hearings required annually to levy the assessment. To date, we've received a total of one protest to this assessment district. That concludes my staff report. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? All right. This is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this, please come forward. And seeing none, we'll bring it back to council. Discussion or a motion?
Ms. Mayor, I would ask Ms. Luker if the protest was over the amount of money or just was the, not who, but what was the nature of the protest?
An unreasonable amount of money to be collected that all parks should be taken care of by the general fund.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I would, if you're ready for the motion, I would move resolution number 40-08 directing the levy of the annual assessment for the Cloisters Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance Assessment District.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. All right. Item B2, resolution directing the levy of the annual assessments for the North Point Natural Area Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District.
Similar to the previous staff report, this evening we're asking you to adopt a resolution 41-08, which will confirm the levy of assessment to fund the maintenance for the North Point Natural Area. By adopting this resolution, $5,645 will be collected through an assessment of all 10 property owners to fund the maintenance of this area. As with the previous assessment district, you did adopt a resolution approving the engineer's report, which described the anticipated maintenance for this 1.3-acre natural area park. Prior to tonight's hearing, as with the Cloisters Assessment District, all property owners on record were noticed via mail, as well as the notice of this hearing being published in the local newspaper. This is the third and final public hearing to hear for the levy process. And we have received no correspondence regarding this assessment district. Again, that concludes my staff report. I'm happy to answer questions you might have.
Any questions on this one? This is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this issue, please come forward. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council. I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval of 41-08.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. All right. Item B3, discussion on placing an initiative on the November 2008 general election ballot in regard to amending Measure D. Rob?
Yes, good evening again. This agenda item is on tonight based on your direction at your June 9th meeting to bring back language that would amend Measure D. According to city documentation, Measure D was approved by 57% of the voters and enacted in 1981. There haven't been any amendments to Measure D since it was enacted. I provided you in my staff report the text of Measure D. Basically, the intent of Measure D is that any development on the tidelands between Beach Street and Target Rock must be primarily to serve licensed commercial fishing or non-commercial recreational fishing activities. The intent of Measure D is also well established in our general plan and local coastal plan, which states that fishing industries has played a significant role in the development of Morro Bay, and that facilities serving the commercial fishing and recreational boating industries shall be protected and, where feasible, upgraded. Existing commercial fishing and recreational boating harbor space shall not be reduced unless the demand for those facilities no longer exists or adequate substituted space has not been provided, and coastal dependent developments shall have priority over other developments on or near the shore. Basically, there's many ways you can try to amend Measure D. I've provided you with four suggestions. My thought process was not to try to rewrite it. I tried to make as least changes as you could to it based on the fact that we really haven't gone through a lengthy process here. We're putting this on quite quickly. My preference would be more to really dig into it and have a stakeholders, kind of like we did with the mobile home ordinance, make sure you get buy-in from all the different stakeholders. And so if you are going to try to amend it this quickly, putting it on the ballot already, these are the kind of suggestions I try to come up with instead of trying to rewrite the whole Measure D to try to get the intent where we're trying to get to it and make it easier to interpret. But whatever your preference is, I do need clear direction because I have to come back with the resolution at the first meeting in July with the exact ballot language. So,
okay. I want to clarify something on this issue because I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of you out here were contacted about this to get your input, which is very valuable. And there's been a lot of stories going around about what we're trying to accomplish here. The reason this came up is because we're constantly running into Measure D and issues as we're looking at some of these projects that are coming up in that part of the Embarcadero. And we want to be proactive in how we do this, and we want to be not trying to get around it. So we were looking for some clarification to make that easier. Whether that is desirable or not, we haven't determined that yet, but that was the reason for it. It was not any particular project. It was not any particular business, but just trying to get it clarified for us to make it easier for us to make decisions about that part of the Embarcadero. Certainly nobody was trying to take away any protection for the fishermen at all. So with that caveat, any questions for staff before we start?
I have a comment. Okay. In light of the comment that you just made, the reason I want to bring this back is because I feel that this just did come to a head because of the specific project, which was the GAFCO Verges Harbor Hut, which I think did run in the face of Measure D and brought it back to our face. So it's very important to me that we do put it on the ballot, because I think that we are in violation of it and are getting ready to do that with other leases up there, like the Tognazini 2 and others. So I'm very excited that we're having this here. I will stop talking because I want to hear what the public has to say, but I also want to add that I appreciate having options to look at, and that I appreciate that there's multiple choices to choose from.
And that's the other thing I wanted to say. Those options were the result of some emails that I sent out, and I want to thank everybody who responded to those with suggested wording and comments, because that was very helpful to both myself and Robin in putting together his report. So, all right. This is a public hearing. Please come forward. And I think, no, it's not. Never mind. Bridget's timer is working.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kathy Novak, and I'm here tonight representing Verges. Excuse me. I just want to let you know that we're working with the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization right now on some draft language for Measure D. Some of the folks are out of town, so we've been doing some long-distance communication, so it's been a little difficult trying to move forward on this. I recognize there's a mid-July deadline on this, and so we have to act fast. But I would just request that you postpone any final decision to your first meeting in July to give us this opportunity to flesh out this language. And I'm hopeful that very soon that the Fishermen's Organization and us can have some draft language that you could consider that's from those two, from the businesses and also from the organization. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Bill Martini. And as far as my understanding, you have four drafts or, you know, changes tonight. Are we going to be, or the public hear what those are, the four options? Are you going to be discussing them? Because I know to make public comment on the changes without knowing what's suggested is kind of tough. So if that's going to be, you know, if we hear what they are, that will be helpful.
I'm sure we'll be discussing the content.
Okay, thanks.
But I think what Mr. Martin is saying is it's hard for the public to comment on the possibilities without seeing them first. And I'm aware that they're probably available on the website, right. But perhaps we could just put them up there. That probably should have been a question.
I don't know if they can read them up there. We could certainly put them up.
Or if Mr. Schultz could say them.
Ray McElligan, Morro Bay. Yeah. When you start fooling with Measure D, you better tell us what you're doing, because there's only people that are going to fight that. And I don't think there's much you can do anyway that Measure D doesn't cover. I think you're just wasting your time. So if you're going to put it on the ballot, put it on the ballot. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it's going to be imperative that we save the areas that are designated for commercial fishing so we have our infrastructure in place. Now, I don't see any reason to change Measure D. You have, with George Ligg, number one, he had an agreement before Measure D was put in place for that little fish market he wanted. So that's that. But I can't see changing any of it. It's there for a specific reason. And I know that there's different people and different pressures looking at expanding different things there. But Measure D, believe it or not, is probably the only thing that kept the view shed open. In that place, you'd probably have a lot more building if it didn't have that in place. Like I say, I didn't agree with all the implications of it at the time, because there were some political shenanigans going on there. and I don't much like politics. But I can tell you, I'm against changing it. And really, if you're gonna make recommendations to changes tonight before the public should comment on them, they should have a chance not just to read it, but hear the discussions on them first. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to council. I'm going to start because one of the people that I talked to was Joe Giannini, who was the author of the original Measure D. I talked to him today, and I told him why we were doing this, why we were bringing it up, and the conflicts and problems that we'd had in trying to justify some of the changes and businesses that we thought were perhaps appropriate, but maybe not to the letter. And he said that he felt that Measure D stands very well on its own, and that as long as we're having those individual discussions, that that is still maintaining the purpose of Measure D. And I respected that viewpoint, especially coming from him. And this was very controversial when it was brought up. Very, I think we all got the newspaper article that about what was going on at the time. So I just wanted to say that before the rest of you make your comments, that that came from the author of the measure. Okay, with that, Bill?
Well, I've done some talking to some of the folks that are in the Commercial Fishermen's Organization, and I've also been aware that we have what we would consider stakeholders taking a look at it, and I think anything we did tonight would be premature considering the Fishermen's Association and the folks that have businesses down there are talking about it. It may be that we don't want to make any changes. It may be everybody will decide that it actually works the way it is, but I don't want to impose something and put it on a ballot and get it voted on if it's not something that those folks have come up with and crafted and could live with if it were adopted. So I'm not going to push for anything other than letting them have a chance to talk.
Okay. Benny?
Thank you. I went back and looked in the zoning ordinance because I remembered reading somewhere sometime something about this area, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And this is what I found. When you, and this is in the zoning ordinance that we're currently operating under, not the new one, and that is when it defines the commercial recreational fishing district, the CF district. This is how they doing all their parking on site or not. So that's something that wasn't at my attention earlier. And then the third one is in 17.38. New recreational boating and passenger for hire facilities shall be located in the bay south of Beach Street. And obviously this has been in violation for several years. So my intent is that I like suggestion number four with one little change to it. I had thought about three, but I realized that we're not addressing, we're not going to come into compliance if we don't change this measure. So for me, it's either we need to, you know, honor Measure D or we need to change it so it's reflecting the way we're acting. And then put it on the ballot so people can say, yeah, council, you need to be honoring it the way it is, or we agree that we need to amend it because life has moved on. So what I like is on suggestion number four, the language that was added, I'll read it out loud so the public can hear. The part that stays the same is the city shall not grant any permit, authorization, or other approval of any state-owned tideland subject to city lease between Beach Street and Target Rock unless such development or use is primarily for the purpose of serving, and here's the new part, marine-related activities. And then it defines it as activities pertaining to a working waterfront, including but not limited to boat building, repair of docks, installation of moorings, facilities for commercial fishing, recreational fishing, and here's the part that I would change. It says commercial and pleasure boats. And what I would do would take out the second and say commercial pleasure boats, because I would not want people to go in there and be able to moor with their boat. But if it's a commercial pleasure boat like the Chablis or the Papagallo, then it's commercial-based. And it's more of, you know, mm-hmm. a working thing. And so I would just take out that last and. So that's what I am in favor of tonight, is to approve suggestion number four.
Rick?
Well, you know, things change a lot. All the time, things change. And one of the things that's happening now is Pacific Fisheries, you know, did their assessment, and it looks like there's going to be a really good black cod season happening this next season. And I want to make sure that we maintain this area so that the commercial fishermen can take advantage of that. It would be a real shame to not support them fully, and then when some of these fish areas are opened up and we're not able to support them. So the outlook for black cod and its or black sable, whatever you want, or sable fish, whatever you want to call it, it's becoming a high value fish, and we're going to be able to fish a lot more of them than we have been in the past. So, and another one of my priorities would be, I think it's very important that the Papagayo and the Chablis continue to operate in the areas where they are operating now. I think it's an appropriate spot for them. I think they're a plus for the city. They bring in, they bring revenue to the city. They affect the leases that are on our agenda. But I think they're in need of a little fixing up, and so we shouldn't just say, "Well, the way it states now is that you can't do that." And so I don't think that's good for the city. So I think we need to be open in that area also.
Okay, Melody.
Well, this got brought to our attention through several projects. And there are things that I'm actually in favor of. For example, the renovation and expansion of Verges. I think Verges provides a remarkable thing for the public and the visitors who come to Morro Bay. I think it's great to get them out fishing. But under the language of Measure D, we're not supposed to have that down there. And then I think the Thai restaurant is great, and I would love to have a bigger Thai restaurant, but that's not allowed under Measure D. Papagallo, the Chablis, that isn't allowed under Measure D, but I want them down there. So what happens is we get these measures like Measure D and Measure H and other measures that voters put on the ballot. They put them on the ballot because they see their city not doing what the residents want them to do. So they go out and they gather up petitions and they put something on the ballot. You're not supposed to change it unless you put it back on the ballot again, you see. But what's happened instead is Measure D has been gradually losing its strength in this city because of kind of ignoring Measure D because it's old or something. It was passed in 1981 and things change. Well, things don't, votes of the people do not change unless it's another vote of the people that changes it. The other comment, I would go along with suggestion number four, and I appreciate Ms. Winholtz catching that and, because I think she's right about the commercial and pleasure boats. And then I would also just bring up that three of you passed this concept plan that Rec and Parks and Harbor brought to us a couple weeks ago, and it has in it retail and everything else all strung out along, and parklands and everything. None of that is commercial fishing. And the thing is, you all pass that, but then you won't put this on the ballot and let people look at it. And if you pass that and you've got some retail that's going on down there, I mean, those plans had retail on them in this area. But you're leaving in suggestion number four and all the suggestions, new restaurants. You can't put new restaurants, cafes, gift shops, or other retail establishments. So in 1 week, we would sort of say, well, we're going to put Measure D on and still forbid restaurants, cafes, gift shops, or retail establishments. And the other week, you were all approving this concept approval that had retail all down there. So I'd take suggestion number four, and I'd frankly get rid of the new restaurants, cafes, gift shops, or other retail establishments all down through that area.
Okay. I think the retail that was referred to in those plans was marine sales, things like that. That was my understanding anyway. There was a great response. I did send out this email. I got a lot of response from the community, and I really appreciate that. But I have something that I think everyone can get behind. Right now, we're trying to decide, and granted, we've asked for input, but at the same time, we're not giving them enough chance to give us the input, thoughtful input, that I think we deserve to give this issue. So I tend to agree. I would rather not put it on the ballot this year. I would rather wait. I would like to have some stakeholder meetings and determine if there really is a need to make the change. And if there is, I'd like that wording to be worked out by all the people who are going to have to live with it. So that's where I'm going on it.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
A couple of the businesses or citations tonight, I think, are not as much afoul of Measure D. If our city attorney could give us an opinion regarding, like, the Papagallo and the Chablis and some of those other businesses, I believe they're ancillary to the main businesses and therefore are not really afoul of D. That's your cue, Rob.
Each and every, well, let me step back a little bit, and I've heard the comment that there's been many issues raised down there. I've been 11 years, and I'm trying to count how many times this issue has come up with staff, and it's probably been 5 times in 11 years. So I don't know if that's tons of times or many times it's come up. But when it does come up, and I think the first time was with Driscoll's fish market was the very first time that it came up. Staff doesn't look at myopically with just Measure D. It looks at all the general plan, local coastal plan. Staff looks at the zoning ordinances and looks at them all. And remembering what the policies say about supporting the fishing industry, and that's what we've tried to do in each one of these circumstances, is look at what the use is, the primary use, whether it's ancillary. With regards to Papagallo, there was a previous boat that was in that area. The actual leaseholder, that's a sublease, the actual leaseholder is Verges, which was having a difficult time leasing out it, and that supports the fishing industry. So we tried to find that, and it went through a legal process. There was hearings where people could publicly come and decide whether they supported that CUP or not. So each one was legally approved. There wasn't any behind-the-scene granting of any of the permits that were allowed there. So each time it's gone through a legal process, you might not agree with that interpretation, and you might say it's a stretch. You might say those things need to be worked out. But each time it has gone through a process with the Papagallo, with the Chablis, with Tognazzini's, which is now Tognazzini's, but was Driscoll's Fish Market. So each time it's gone through that legal process, and I just to hear it say they're illegal businesses, they're not illegal. They've been legally granted permits through our process. Whether you agree with that or not, it still stands up because no court legal filings were filed against it. So,
well, then I'd like to respond to that because I'm sure Mr. Pierce was responding to my comment, and I stand by it may have gone through a legal process, but that doesn't mean this body illegally interpreted the zoning ordinance, which I believe that we have done. And so if this council is going to not put this measure on the ballot for at least 2 years, because we could have a special meeting at the end of July and still make the ballot in November. If we are trying to wait for other people to come back with some language, we have time to do that if we're willing to commit to that. If you're going to put it off for south of Beach Street, I don't think you can get much clearer than that. Okay?
Okay. All right. Anyone want to try a motion?
I move that we postpone action on this until we, at a time to be determined later when we can hear from the stakeholders.
Okay, discussion. I'd like to include in that motion, if you agree, or maybe you just was an ancillary thing, that we do try and get a group of the stakeholders together and start a process where we work on this and find out if it is something needed, and if it is needed, then how we should proceed with it.
Madam Mayor, I believe actually the group is together, but we can ensure that it is firmly cemented if you want. I could make that as part of the motion.
All right.
I did inquire who is the stakeholders and who has defined them and how are they chosen?
Well, to me, one of the stakeholders would be the Commercial Fishermen's Association.
Okay.
Since
and who
they're
else?
The folks, and then also part of that group are the folks that have the businesses down in that area.
And they've all been contacted?
I think they pretty much know what's going on.
Madam Mayor, you do also have a Harbor Advisory Board, and that might be an appropriate
Absolutely.
Spot to refer
that,
to.
That, too.
And they were all contacted.
Incidentally, I don't know how many emails you got, but I would be interested in seeing them, since we didn't get any information back from anyone other than what I got by telephone and personal conversation. So if anybody has emails relating to this, it might be handy also.
Okay. I forwarded them all to Rob. So, okay. All right. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay, demerit and Winhouse opposed. All right, item B4. This is the assignment of lease site 34W located adjacent to 225 Main Street from Norman Arnold to Robert Kreiser. And Rob, this is back again.
This is back on your agenda from your last meeting when it was continued. So it's back on as lease site 34W, which is a water lease site consisting of four boat slips abutting the fee property located at 225 Main Street. Norm Arnold is the current lessee of the lease site 34W and is requesting approval of the assignment of the lease agreement for lease site 34W to Robert Kreiser. For the terms of the lease agreement for lease site 34W, any assignment of lease requires approval of the City Council. The lease agreement also states that city shall not unreasonably nor arbitrarily withhold its approval to the assignment or transfer of the lease to an assignee who is financially reliable and qualified to conduct the business for which the lease was granted. Basically, when there, any of these lease assignments come in, there's two things that staff look at. First, it looks to see if the lease is in good standing, rent payments have been made, there's any defaults. And then second, we do the credit check to see on whether the assignment, who it's being assigned into, is credit worthy. And those are really the only two issues that we can look at from a staff level, and so can council. The approval use of the site per the agreement is the rental slips of berthing slips and for uses normally incidental and to directly allied to such purpose and no other purpose. The assignment is attached here. What the issue that I believe came up last time had to do with parking, and I tried to explain that the parking issue is a completely separate issue and apart from the assignment of this lease, which again has only two requirements, which is Main Street. And that's the way it's been since then. Those five parking spaces have been provided for the four slips. It's come up to remove those that at various times over the last couple of years. It's been brought up by the owner of 206 now, 206 Main, to remove that dedication. It would require not only the city to remove that, but also the Coastal Commission to remove that dedication. But we couldn't do that without also finding the parking spaces for the four boat slips. So that's where it stands right now. I will say when the assignment came forward, because of the unique situation we have in that area where we just have water slips and don't have any land, Tidelands land like we do along the Embarcadero, there was two issues that came to staff's mind, and that was number one is we're going to have just a water lease site that's different than the uphill upland property owner, and therefore we need access, number one. And then also there's a requirement in the lease agreement to provide bathrooms 24 hours 7 days a week, and those bathrooms are located on 225 Main Street, the fee property. So we made certain that the assignment documents also had a deed dedication that required access to the slips. So we'll have in perpetuity access to all four of basically city slips, and also provides for that those restrooms to also be in perpetuity. That's on 225. So
do you have that map that you could put on the overhead?
Yes.
So people can get a concept of this.
The green, if you can't read it, is where the four boat slips are, and then the blue arrow is where 206. And staff certainly realizes it's not a perfect situation. We have four boat slips, and you can see the parking. I don't know how many feet it is, but it's a ways away. A perfect scenario would be if we owned a large parking lot in that area. We have problems even with some parking that occurs next door with Coakley's, the fuel dock, which is just south of it. So, I mean, it's not a perfect situation. Staff, if directed to, certainly can look at the parking to try to provide closer parking or negotiate others. But as I tried to say 2 weeks ago, they're kind of completely separate issues. And in fact, in staff's mind, the applicant or the less proposed assignment to Chrysler will probably be more willing to look at other ideas than the current property owner who's out of the country. With that, I'll answer any questions.
Okay. Questions?
Mr. Schultz, the advertisements that we've seen for the sale of these properties, both properties list that they have these slips available, but how does that work? I mean,
we certainly can. When we've noticed advertisements that are just incorrect, we certainly try, you know, with staff time, try to contact them. I believe there was one next door with when the Coakley's property that kind of incorrectly stated what the term was.
Other questions? No. Okay, this is a public hearing. If you'd like to speak on this issue, please come forward.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. My name is Kathy Novak, and I'm here this evening representing Candy Bowditch. Candy wishes to go on record that she does not object to the transfer of the lease site number 34W to Robert Chrysler because it's not necessarily clear that the parking will be on her property at 206 Main Street. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, my name is Dorothy Cutter, and I do not think that you should transfer this lease site until you resolve the parking problem. Now, this is the problem. 225 Main Street needs 11 spaces. It has one on-site and five at 206 Main. Unfortunately, because these properties are for sale, different things have been coming to the fore. And one of them is suddenly there's a confusion about whether the parking spaces at 206 Main go with the boat slips or whether they go with the land. And this confusion exists, the title company, the Coastal Commission, and so forth. Now, I called the Coastal Commission today and talked to them about this problem. What should we do? They said that when I gave them the address, I gave them the lease site and the address of 225. Oh, yes, they said. Yes, we're very familiar with this property. They didn't get a permit for a bulkhead. They've been down, looked at the property. They said there's not enough parking for all the activities going on. Now, if you decide to transfer the lease site, which I don't think you should do, because for one thing, have you notified the bank? The bank has a loan on that property. Maybe you're transferring assets that belong to the bank. I don't know. Okay. There are things you could do. You are transferring a lease that belongs to 225 Main. You can make conditions that if you transfer the lease, that the property owner of 225 Main has got to put a condition that when he sells the property, that whoever buys that property has to provide the adequate spaces. And that would be recorded as a deed, and that would go with the sale of the property. And you can do that. And that would solve the parking problem because it needs to have these spaces. Now, the Coastal Commission also said that whoever works on the dock there, because it needs a lot of work, has to have a permit. And when that permit is issued, the parking will be considered. Because it does go with the slips. It's very important to provide adequate parking there. So first, you can not do anything and wait and find out what's going to happen, or you can make it a condition of the property owner of 225 Main that he rectifies the situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, okay.
Forget and be for sale here shortly. And does it just kind of continue on I just wanted one point of clarity, and that is, are you saying that the five parking spots in this lease are going on 206 Main? Because I understood in Norm Arnold's renewal of the 11-year lease that the original condition was to have the parking at 206 Main. And then I believe 206 was taken off because there was a question whether, you know, it was parking for 225 Main or the boat slips that went on 206 Main. Now I understand Rob saying that the parking does go on 206 Main. So is that actually part of the condition that, you know, that Candy will have the five dedicated parking spots for the boat slips on her on the windmill property? I believe in the lease, if I'm not mistaken, it gave 2 years when you gave the 11-year lease to Mr. Arnold to actually find additional parking or to find parking. You know, that was, I think there was piling repair, electrical, and the very last was in the 2 year period was to actually locate parking. So, if a point of clarity, if the parking is to go on the windmill house with hope in the future of locating it elsewhere, maybe that should finally clear it up once and for all whether it is on 206 Main or it isn't. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll ask that question.
Hi, I'm Bob Kreiser, Los Osos, and also asking for this assignment. I believe it will be an asset to the city as a leaseholder of the lease of Site 34W. The first time, first item that comes to the assignment of the lease when you assign it to me is continual access to these slips provided to me and my successors and assignees. So in other words, in the future, if for some reason I wind up in a situation like Mr. Arnold where I'm assigning that lease site to someone else, they have continual access that's transferable for so long as there's a lease site adjacent to 225. Second, my commitment to diligently pursue permits and contracts to replace unsafe pilings as required in amendment number one. My goal is to have new pilings installed prior to next winter's storms. I have some real concerns, and some of the runners that are in the slips have real concerns. You probably received an email from one of them. I've already begun to work on water meters, upgrading the water service, the fire service down there. That's not, the fire service is not part of the requirement, but it's not functioning. There's a fire hose down there. The water line's broken to it. I think it's imperative that it have some type of fire service. In addition, there's electric meters being required. That process is actually already underway. So I want to provide safe berths for the people that are living in these boats or storing their boats in these slips. That's a responsibility I believe that anybody that holds this lease has. Lastly, I've also begun to work with the owners of 206 Main Street to resolve the parking issue that persists regarding this site. This boat slip lease is by the owner of 225 Main Street, and the deed restrictions specify that the parking is for the use of 225 Main Street and 206 Main Street. He can assign the use of his facilities to a person who he's now assigning the lease to. So that's a convoluted way of saying the parking spaces can be assigned with the boat slips. But my intent is not to continue on using the boat slips. I believe there's a workable solution. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to council. Who wants to start?
I have questions.
Okay.
A couple questions. So I think this area has been underparked and chronically underparked. But let me just get really straight about this. So 225 is owned by Mr. Arnold still? Okay. And then Mr. Kreiser owns 219, which is just adjacent. Okay. So when I read the old deeds and the deed restriction, It seems to talk back and forth. The covenants talk about 225 Main Street, and then the deed restriction talks about the waterfront parcel, but it gives this 225 Main Street in parentheses. I know you've seen this.
It's very confusing, and that's why I had to look at the historical documents. I don't know why they didn't use 34W, 1970s. We just weren't using that difference, but there is no question whatsoever that the five parking spaces had nothing to do with 225 and any development going on there. They were for the four boat slips. That was the only development going on at that time. So there's no question, if you look from a historical, and if you read the documents in totality, they do talk about 225 Main and providing parking for 225 Main. But when you read the documents and the historical development that was going forward, they were for the lease site. And the parking problems on 225 Main are a separate issue that maybe might need to be dealt with, but it's a completely separate issue.
Well, 225 Main does need to be dealt with, and so if I could ask Mr. Ambo a question. I went down and took a look, walked kind of around 225 Main last week, and it looks to me like they have a new vacation rental a la boathouse down there, because they've built up and they've put a vacation rental there. They've said that's what it is. And then the large lighthouse structure has been attached to a building and all renovated. So that looks like a residence now. Plus then there's the house at the front, which actually obstructs anyone from driving onto the lot to park anywhere. So this is actually, 225 is severely underparked as it is laid out right now, isn't it?
Not that I'm aware of. I believe that, I think these spaces were part of the approval, if you recall, of the three. There were three lots that got a conceptual approval
from an old planning commission, right?
You can get back with you.
No, they've already kind of redeveloped the back end of it, so.
Right, and the main issue there that I see that I think we've got to try to find a way to deal with it is that boathouse. And the historical documents show that as an observation area, not a living area, but somewhere in the 80s. I mean, the file is repeat with letters to the previous first owner about doing permitting work without permits, and please stop. And so obviously there was a lot of work done there over the years,
right,
that was not to code, and it's something that staff needs to look at it. But again, 225 is completely separate, and with all due respect to Ms. Cutter, is for an assignment, you cannot renegotiate items that are not within the contract and the terms of the lease, which say an assignment will not be denied if they're not in default, and this lease not in the default and in the credit. So to go back and renegotiate, and there's quite a few case law that says that's illegal to do. You're not at an arm's length transaction bargaining.
Okay.
You're holding over his head 225.
Well, in that respect, I should say that that's a vote in Mr. Kreiser's favor, because I'd rather not have Mr. Arnold controlling any water leases because of the way that he has behaved at 225 Main and his other lots there. I also think that Mr. Kreiser, well, I'll just go ahead and do comment then.
Okay.
I also think that Mr. Kreiser is doing quite a bit of what you would call redevelopment with a water lease. He's changing the piers underneath. He's changing the electrical connections. He's actually redeveloping them into something safer and more appropriate. But I think that if I was living at 206 and they might have gotten home and turned on the TV by now, I'd still be looking at that as redevelopment of that water lease, and I'd go to the Coastal Commission and ask them to remove that deed restriction. And I see. Thank you, Mr. Kreiser. So I think the thing that this city has to be well aware of and to keep looking at is what's happening at that upland property. I think that's what's causing most of the problem and the issue. And I think that's all I want to say right now.
Okay.
I'll listen.
I just want to respond to one thing about the deed restriction, because I looked at this too, and that was part of my confusion last time. Is the parking really part of that property And does it have to be removed if the property is redeveloped? And it actually, it's very, it's kind of vague, but it doesn't really say that. It says that the parking spaces on the project site shall be retained in perpetuity or until redevelopment of the waterfront parcel provides for the five parking spaces. So that can be interpreted by saying, you know, unless that happens and they provide it, then nothing changes. So it's fuzzy language, but I can understand why it's not, they're not saying that if any redevelopment happens on that property, you have to resolve this. It only says you can. It's not real good language.
It is not good language. But I would like to have that APN looked at. I think that is 225 Main, and I think that's what the Coastal Commission was calling the waterfront parcel.
Boathouse, which is on 225 and has the bathrooms, even though the water lease goes with 219, 225 still provides the bathrooms.
Absolutely, and that's that agreement that I might make a few changes to that was in your previous package that talks about the access and the bathrooms, and that those will always be dedicated in perpetuity to our lease sites because we want to have those two things available from a city's perspective 20, 30 years down the line that we still have access and we have the bathrooms.
And then the second one would be then if, in light of the part that Ms. Peters just read, if the lease site is now attached to 219, the water lease site is now attached to 219,
no.
Or is it not even attached to 219?
It's not attached to anything.
But he will be providing the access on his property,
yes.
219.
Yes.
So
and across 225. It's across 225.
The access to the water lease goes across 221 and 225.
Right. Across 221 and 225.
And is that written into this agreement
yes.
then?
Yes.
That it's actually on a different...
Yes.
And, crosses
and that's why we needed...
property.
Right. And that's why we needed Norm Arnold to agree to that.
And if that's true, then where... And you're saying that the parking doesn't apply, but... Because the Coastal Commission says it goes with the land, not with the boats?
Right. Parking applies to this lease site, but the lease site needs five parking spots, and those are being provided at 206 Main Street. 225 might be underparked, but that has nothing to do with the lease site.
But the parking for the boats doesn't, like you're providing the walking across several parcels now, we're providing the bathroom on a different parcel, and now the parking's on even a third parcel. And so we're obligating a number of owners to this one little water site.
And when we're said and done, we might, when we're done, have just as many. I mean, I think a perfect world would be to, and not looking at the other underparked issue, but just for our lease sites, mm-hmm. would be to have a dedicated spot at 225, 221, and 217. That would be three, and getting the two other spots closer, maybe somehow configuring it so we could get them all closer. Because somewhere you're going to have the dedication on the upland because we don't own it.
Right. So
if that was to occur, if we can find five parking spaces closer or elsewhere, then that's when you could take off the deed restriction and go to Coastal Commission and say you've found parking spaces elsewhere to provide the parking for the four spaces. Because if you just do away with the parking at 206, you're going to exacerbate the problem even more. And I think then you have to do away with the lease site even because you're not providing any parking. You couldn't even get the permits for it. But I think when it goes in, it should at least when it goes in front of the Coastal Commission for if a CDP is required, and you show them that the lease site has five parking spaces for the four boats, that's legally parked. That's not where the issue is.
And this document that you're writing that allows the access across 21 and 25, is that something you're doing right now, but it's separate from the water lease assignment, or is it part of the water lease assignment?
No, it's part of the water assignment. We want that in effect before we do the assignment.
Then why would we also put the parking in there? If we're doing the bathrooms, we're doing the access, why would we also not put parking?
Because they've not underparked. It'll still have its five spots on 206 Main Street. If you remove them, then it would be.
If we had the access through the neighbor's property, Mr. Martinez, so they could put the five on the 225, would we put that into the lease?
I don't know if there's five spaces on 225 that would even fit on there. You know.
But that would be something to investigate?
Yeah,
I think they're looking at all the lease sites, all of the upland properties to see if you could put them on there. But I don't know how you could park five cars on 225 Main Street at this point in time. When Main Street, and so now you're only providing the five for the lease site, and we're just trying to see if we can get parking for 225 Main, which has the front residence, the middle residence with the lighthouse, and the boathouse. So you're probably looking at trying to fit nine parking spaces there or eight parking spaces on 225 Main Street. It's not going to happen.
Well, and actually, Mr. Kreiser said that he's already working on a way to provide those parking spaces. So.
My concern is that he's working on closing a street and having the public pay the price for a private development that messed up. And I'm not interested in closing off a private street for public, a public street for private use.
But it's not the lease site that messed up.
It's whoever did that development down there, and whatever happened to whoever.
But it had nothing to do. But it had nothing to. But it had nothing to do with the lease site. That's where the difference is.
Well, it depends on whether you connect the bathroom with the lease site or not. That whole building should never have been a living space, and now it's got a living space in it, so that requires more parking. It's all just like a nest of
not stuff. Really, if you look at it from the standpoint, if in fact the lease site had a different owner for the last 20 years and all this development occurred on 225, you wouldn't be holding the leaseholder responsible. If since 1979 you had a different leaseholder, that when they developed it, it was a separate owner, separate deal, did a separate project, and was required to provide five parking spaces, and those five were provided at 206, this would not be an issue. But because they were the same, you're trying to tie the two issues together, and they're not. What happened on the fee land has nothing to do with the lease site.
Okay.
Not if you live down there.
I don't think we're ever going to come to full agreement on this. Go ahead, Mary.
One little question. Rob Boyle, you've been talking with Ms. Winholtz. I've been looking at the covenants and the lease, and I'm trying to find where the guarantee is about access for these boaters to that boathouse bathroom.
It was provided in your previous package.
I've got that here.
Okay.
Is it in the covenant, or is it? It's not in our lease, assumption of lease. I see where the easements are, the path of access.
I'm not sure.
The four-foot path and all that. But I just have to say that 225, the upland property, is in fact the APN number that's on the deed restriction. It isn't but it's those people in the water lease that are docking there that need that access to the bathroom, and that was the, I just want to make sure it's in here somewhere. I see Mr. Kreiser is looking too. That's just for the use of the patio?
I think so. Yeah, because that caught me, too.
15 days advance notice, and he's in Peru for the patio.
Yeah, not the bathroom.
Okay.
That would be a little difficult.
And you say you have to tighten up the language?
Yeah, I want to make certain that the city is actually the beneficiary of this is really the city. The parking at 206, the access, and the bathrooms are the beneficiary of the city, and I want the city to be in an agreement, part of this agreement, so that, in fact, the owners of 221 and 225 and even the leaseholder couldn't all get together and remove the deed restriction without our okay.
Okay, yeah. We have to do that.
All right.
So does that mean we have to do that before we approve it, or?
Subject to the approval of the city attorney as to the content of the agreements. And if you want to see the final, then you could bring it back. But, I mean, it's just tightening up the language.
Okay. Are we ready for a motion?
Madam Mayor, I move that we approve 4208, the assignment of the lease to Mr. Kreiser, and with the final wording to be brought back by the approved by the city attorney.
Second.
Any more discussion?
I just comment that I'm going to vote in favor of this, so the Coastal Commission will be reviewing it. So,
all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Thank you. All right, let's take a break before we go to B6. And B5 has been pulled. I'm sorry, I didn't announce that earlier. still now. Hopefully we'll be okay. All right, we'll go back to work with item B6, approval of resolution amending the parking in lieu fee in the downtown area. And Rob, we're really putting you to the test tonight.
Boy, I know. I'm getting tired. This item also is in front of you based on a future agenda item, which was to discuss reducing the parking in lieu fund just in the downtown area. The city's parking in lieu fund was established in 1988 to provide increased business opportunities along the community's waterfront. Rather than providing on-site parking, owners were allowed the option to pay the city a fee, thereby increasing the area available for business development. It was created in through Ordinance 337. Originally, the amount was $4,000. Then in 2005, the city passed Resolution 3705, which increased the parking to $15,000 per space. At the May 27th meeting, you directed staff to bring back a resolution reducing the parking lot fee in the downtown area in order to stimulate economic development in this area. Attached is the draft resolution. Without too much direction, I did plug in a figure of $2,000. That was just plugging in something as a place copy of the parking management plan. If I can find it in here, then we can put that area up. And with that, I'll open it up to any questions you may have.
Okay, I got a question right off the bat. Matt's from the Cotton Ball, and they were concerned that perhaps it could be extended to Quintana so that it would include their property as well. And there are a couple of businesses in there.
Does our parking
on Main Street?
I'm not sure our parking district even does it go that far over?
We extended it down earlier, did we not, Mr. Ambo? I know the study went that far, and I thought we actually expanded
well,
the district.
If we did, then it would have had to be done by ordinance because it's so it's not been certified.
I think what
because
we changed
it
was.
Go ahead.
I think what we changed was the business district when we were talking about speeding by Radcliffe, and we extended the business district mm-hmm. down to Quintana.
Oh, mm-hmm. as opposed to the parking in lieu?
Right.
Thank
right.
you.
So that area is not subject to parking in lieu anyway?
I'll have to look it up.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, my recollection is that there's a couple different things. The parking management plan you're referencing didn't my recollection is it didn't totally correspond to the boundaries that we had in the former plan, and I do recall expanding the boundaries, and it was our intent when we adopted the parking management plan to expand the boundaries, and it may have gone further south, if you will, to that area of Maine, but I'm not really sure. But we did adopt that, and you may recall that was a requirement that we adopt the parking management plan that came up as an issue with the administration and implementation of our local coastal plan, and that's how the two documents were tied. But I believe we did establish a slightly revised parking area, downtown parking area.
Well, and actually, it only have to go to Surf Street after that. I think there's room for parking on all of those businesses.
Okay.
So, anyway, just a suggestion that came from someone. Other questions? First off, anybody?
Well, I'm concerned why they would be asking. Are they paying parking in lieu right now and they think that's going to get reduced?
They would like to make some improvements and changes to their business that would require parking in lieu payment.
Which location is this?
Cotton Ball. She couldn't be here.
Okay. And that's at Surf in Maine.
Yeah. Yeah, Surf in Maine, correct.
I don't have any comments, but I mean questions, but I would like to make an amendment to the resolution. That is to add a time limit to it.
Well, we've got a public hearing, so
okay.
Why don't we wait until.
I'll put that out there in case people want to comment on it.
Okay.
I would limit it to 3 years.
Okay. Any other questions?
Only
okay. I have a question.
Well, okay.
I was just trying to wait for Rick. Mr. Schultz, there's nothing in this that makes any of this retroactive to other project.
It doesn't, but I think we need to clarify that. I mean, I know that was the intent before, but I think we need a further whereas.
The intent before was to not be retroactive.
Right, that's what I mean. But, I was asked that question, and certainly that was not the intent to have anything that it's not been approved, but I think we need mm-hmm. a clarification just to make sure that's clear.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, this is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this, please come forward. Okay, seeing no one.
I'm saying that it is not retroactive, that could be added at the end of the other six whereases.
Okay. Bill?
I don't know that I have a problem with the sundown clause in it, although this is a resolution. You could change it next meeting if you wanted to. It's not set in stone, so if we put it out there and at the end of a year we don't like it, we can just change it again. So I don't know that it really needs a time limit on it, but I don't think it hurts it either. As I say, it's just a resolution. I think that I could certainly see where we, if we're trying to stimulate economic growth, I could be nudged to push this thing out to Surf Street, I think. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if it's a business district, it's fair game. I don't know whether I want to leave it at 2,000 or make it even less. That I'll have to think about.
Okay. Rick?
Well, I'm excited about this. I think this is great because we're telling people that we're ready to work with you finally, and we're excited that you're here, and we want you here, and we need you here. And we're going to make it so you can prosper. So I think it's a great opportunity to change a perceived reputation that we've had in the past as not being very business friendly. Having a sunset clause on it is fine, but I think we need to realize that, you know, it's going to take a while for the word to get out, number one, and then it takes a while for people to do plans and financing and everything else, and I don't want people to start their projects and then get caught in a bureaucratic thing where, you know, they don't finish it in time. So, anybody that starts it prior to that ending date is able to finish it with the same reduced restrictions. But I'm real excited about it because I think it's going to be a good thing for the city. It gives the people and businesses that need a new look an opportunity to do that, and I hope people take advantage of it. And I don't have a problem with expanding it down that far either.
What time period would you suggest, if not 3 years? Would you rather go for the five?
The thing is, we're going to miss out on some money, maybe. I say maybe because there's nothing happening with it, $15,000 per space. Nobody's doing anything. So I'm not sure we're going to be missing out that much. So I could go 3 to 5 on that.
Okay. How about the amount of money?
I would even be okay with $1,000. I think there should be a token amount there. Whether it's $1,000 or $2,000, but I certainly wouldn't want to see it above $2,000 because then it kind of restricts what we're trying to do.
Melody?
Mr. Ambo, does the parking in lieu extend as far as Surf Street?
No, it doesn't.
I didn't think so.
No, I just pulled it up. It goes to Beach in Maine. It doesn't go over to Surf.
Okay, so they're not part of it anyway.
No.
Okay, so we could put this out to Beach, right?
You could do.
And then it's also true that when we did development impact fees, we didn't get anybody caught in that web. In fact, what we did then was we took everybody who was on the, what do we call it, the work list. And so as long as they have filed their permit or they've paid their fees, they're in. So even if we did by resolution take it away, they're in. We wouldn't retroactively take it away. So all that said, I think that $2,000 is a cool amount. We do use this money quite a bit, you know. We've used it for the Harbor Walk. We've used it for the parking management study itself. We use it to stripe parking lots, which needs to be done all the time. We need some money in that fund. So, you know, and it's arguing again about $1,000, so I'm not going to argue too much, but I think $2,000 was a nice round number. I also don't know that 3 years would be long enough to see a real effect, because once a person starts to conceptualize an idea, then they have to meet with their partners and such. So I might suggest 5 years, but I would definitely put it on as five, noting that Mr. Pierce has established that we could take it all back next year, which we won't. So I'd be willing to do that for, and I kind of like the area, since we don't I'm not really conceiving, but I think if Park and Loo goes down to Beach Street, we should cover the area in downtown that is covered by Park and Loo, shouldn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then I think on that, be it further resolved that the downtown area as described, the downtown area impacted by Park and Loo, we could just do that, right?
Okay.
That is impacted
rather
by Park.
Rather than being geographic and saying Maine to Piney and Beach to Pacific, we can just say the downtown area affected by
works. Would that be okay, Mr. Ambo, if we said it was the downtown area impacted by Park and Loo?
Normally, when we try to configure these boundaries, we do it so that it kind of jives with commercially zoned land, and I think that's what Rob might have been picking up on. We may have had some zoning districts that are meandering around, so to the extent that we could keep it all in a commercial zone, then I think that would be a good thing, and I think we're going to have pretty reliable boundaries along those lines.
Madam Mayor, I think that if you were to say commercial property within the area now affected by in lieu parking, that covers it.
Yeah.
And we can let staff geographically define that, but I think you were to throw pushpins at the wall. If you could say that, if you're going to make the motion, then
In fact, what Mr. Ambo said and what Mr. Schultz argued for.
I believe our ordinance says that, I mean, parking in lieu really should only be used for commercial, I believe.
Right.
So that's, we'll still apply it that way. If a project comes in and is going to do residential and it's within this zoning area, we don't even allow the parking in lieu as an option for them. It's only for the commercial part of it.
Okay. Okay, so I don't know if we're ready for the motion.
Well, I didn't get to talk yet, but I suggested it in the first place, so. I'm happy. I like the idea of 5 years because I agree it takes a while to get a project going, and this will give us an idea to find out, you know, if we've got 20 projects all of a sudden coming forward within the next 5 years, we know we're onto something good. And the wording about the district I think is fine. I also think 2000 is fine.
Of the city of Morro Bay that the area shall be described as the downtown area impacted by parking and lieu fees.
Commercial. Downtown area.
Downtown area that
Second.
Is impacted. Thank you.
And can I ask for a friendly amendment? And would you add to that and is not retroactive at the end of your last resolve?
Probably another sentence. This is not retroactive.
Should I be aware as
I'm not sure the term retroactive. I think the term should be that and shall only apply to projects that
any new projects
that haven't received entitlement.
I will take that friendly amendment and say that it is only applied to any new development.
And that's okay entitlement. With the second.
Pardon?
Entitlement.
He used the term entitlement.
Well, then he could say the amendment.
The issue comes up. Let me give you a question that comes up. If someone's in the, I'm not sure if anybody's in the pipeline project, are they entitled to the reduction now? It hasn't gone in front of the Planning Commission. It hasn't gone administratively. Would they be entitled to the reduction? If you say, no, that's not a new project, then they could simply just withdraw their application anyways and refile, and you'd have to call it a new project. So I think the entitlement, meaning that it hasn't gone before.
So what is the language for the city clerk that needs to
It hasn't received an entitlement or permits.
It
has not received any entitlement.
It has not received any entitlement or permits.
All right, so that's part of the motion and
the second
agreed.
Also.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None.
Okay, you folks out there, everybody go build something.
Quick. All right, new unfinished business. So now we go to
where are we going now?
I think we've got people waiting. Are most of you out there still waiting for the consent items?
Yeah, some people.
Or are you waiting for D1 or D2? Who's out there for consent? Raise your hand. Nobody? Okay. Then we'll, oh, yes.
They
okay.
Are.
All right. So let's go back to consent and get those since we've got people waiting on those. Okay. So let's go back to A12 and A13 and A14. All right. So A12. Betty?
A12 is the approval of the new lease site for 137, the Horton Williams Trust. It's the what we know as Krill's. And having passed the other one right next door a couple of hours ago, my concern with both these leases is that there's no increase and that they're getting 20 years of a lease, no improvements required, and my concern is that should have been maybe more like 10. I know at any point the city can come back and say, you know, in a year we want this property, but that's 20 years with no improvement, no increase to their rent. And it seems to me as we increase everyone else's rent and or percentages that...
Point arguing this one. And furthermore, I am always pleased that Krill's is there, to tell you the truth. There is no better saltwater taffy. People that come to this town come just to go to Krill's. I'm pleased that they're not redeveloping it and building some big new spunky-looking thing.
I totally agree, and I go there and buy taffy. My concern is not that it's Krill's. My concern is the consistency of the way we do leases.
But we are also talking about redevelopment, and we have a clause in here that puts them on a year to year, that we'd have to we could knock them out any time if we want to redevelop. So, you know, why would they want to do anything down there at Krill's but sell saltwater taffy?
But we also require others to come to us with development. You know, here we're trying to do the development. I don't see the consistency. And I'll drop it because I know that this is a losing target.
Well, the only other point I'd like to make is that actually it's the macadamia nut turtles that you go to Krill's for. But, okay. Motion?
I move approval of A12.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
One. Okay. Winholds opposed. And then we go to A13
is the Anderson property asking for a 3-year extension because they put in much more money than they anticipated that they would, and we seem to do the length of leases in conjunction with or correlated with how much money is invested. So my question was, and I can't remember, Mr. Elgar, did you say that this is the first or the second time that they've asked for an extension on this?
This is the first lease amendment okay. to this lease.
Okay. They also had a much larger property than a lot of the other properties did on the Embarcadero. 3 years is fairly minor to me, so I'm not objecting to it, but again, I'm not sure where we lie with the consistency. So I'll go ahead and move approval of A13.
Second.
Okay, let's give a second to Bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right, and A14.
A14 is the lease at the Estero Landing on the south end of the Embarcadero, and they're the ones that had the new clause, or to me that is the new clause, under 2.03 that requires the base to come back every 5 years. And this is the statement that was not in the other leases, and so I was hoping to put it in the other, so now I'm wondering if this one shouldn't be taken out. Unless, Mr. Algott, you've put them in other ones, but I don't recall.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
So one of the things that I think it might be helpful to go back and review our lease management policy. I promise I won't do it tonight, but I believe that is a future agenda item that we're going to discuss. And it identifies three planning areas, the Measure D zone north of Beach Street, where we have a lot of issues we've talked about that don't allow development proposals from nonconforming uses. Then we have the Mid-Embarcadero group. The Mid-Embarcadero, we encourage folks to propose redevelopment through the planning permit process. And once they get the concept level approval, the policy authorizes me to negotiate a draft lease, which is then presented to you for approval. This, all of our long-term leases in the Mid-Embarcadero planning area use the standard lease format. It does include the reappraisal. It includes a C.
Okay. Any other comments?
Move approval of A14.
I have a comment.
Okay. Well, why don't you second it, and then you can add.
Second it for okay. the discussion.
All right. Seconded by Melody. Discussion.
It would have been nice to have a rendering of this, I think, in the packet so we could see what it looked like. Just that's my comment.
And I also like the fact about the public restroom that's going to be part of that during business hours. It's great. But I just would have liked to have seen what it would look like with the neighbors, you know. But I do support it.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. All in favor. All right. Now we'll go to D1. Consideration of Harbor Advisory Board recommendation to correspond with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission on the Green Wave Energy Proposal. And this is Rick. We're keeping you busy tonight, too, aren't we? It's the Rick and Rob show.
Good evening, again, Madam Mayor and Council. Thank you. In 2007, the city became aware that a company or a limited liability corporation called Green Wave Energy had made a proposal to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for what they called the Morro Bay Wave Energy Park, which is a hydrokinetic project that is proposed for 21 square miles off the coast, approximately 1 mile offshore to approximately 3 miles offshore. There's a map including your agenda item. It's sort of a rectangular area that is runs from 7 miles from north to south and about 3 miles wide. And it starts, the northern border of the rectangle is just south of Morro Bay and runs all the way along MDO down to Mantegna de Oro Park. The 7 miles north to south ends at about Point Bouchon, right before Diablo Canyon. So the city was never notified formally, to my knowledge, on this. We learned about this project by a referral from a colleague in the National Marine Fisheries Service who said, sent us an email, said, you may be interested in this. And indeed, I think we should be. We have reviewed this with the Harbor Advisory Board initially. I think it was in the May meeting that we heard a report from a young man that works for us as a lifeguard and is finishing up at Cal Poly and got a grant from Cal Poly to travel to New York and go to the World Wave Energy Symposium. And it was really an interesting opportunity for him that that we took advantage of. And he gave us a report at the Harbor Advisory Board of all the things he'd learned about the permitting process and the technology that's available. But this is very complex and still a lot to learn about this. The Harbor Advisory Board formed an ad hoc committee in May. That committee met a couple times in June. They reviewed a draft letter to the City Council, which is included in your packet, and the Harbor Advisory Board has recommended that you send this letter off to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to request that we could intervener status. Concerns that were voiced and potential benefits that were voiced at the Harbor Advisory Board that we should try to learn more about before we make formal comment. Benefits the local economy and community. Second, specific siting and types of equipment to be installed. It's not clear. This is a pilot project application. The technology is not described. The actual placement, the method of transmission, the effects on the marine habitat, all those issues are undetermined at this point and undefined. Apparently, the process FERC has is an expedited one to grant a pilot project license. They would then be able to potentially even go as far as install a test product out in the ocean, and they would have to proceed through the full permitting license and process of FERC. And if it's in state water, I'm convinced that they would have to go through the State Lands Commission, and there would be a state review and CEQA process too. But that, again, is not totally clear to us at this point in our level of expertise that they, but I can't imagine them not doing this without getting a State Lands Commission lease in their proposal for state waters. But to continue on with the issues, how does the developer propose to meet their shoreside logistics and maintenance requirements? We're in this business, and it's easy to say, and this does sound like a neat idea, but those kind of installations of huge mechanical equipments out in the ocean would require a really significant shoreside support from some harbor or something. It's going to take boats. It's going to take a lot of maintenance, a lot of equipment, manpower. There will be impacts and, of course, you know, potential benefits. But I don't know that we realize what the logistics and maintenance issues might be with the, depending on the level of their installation. That certainly is something we should check into. What are the view and aesthetic issues? How will the proposed development affect boating and fishing in the area? That was one of the first concerns that was voiced and still an ongoing concern. And what are the impacts on the marine environment of these installations? So that would be our recommendation to you tonight. I don't think we're prepared to debate whether it's a good or bad thing, but we do recommend to you that we request intervener status, that you send this letter, and that we get in the loop and try to learn, with limited staff time available, and we try to learn more about what the impacts are and ask our questions.
Okay. Any questions?
I have.
Okay.
Looking at this little rectangle that's sitting right offshore, that looks to me like that's probably a halfway decent fishing area now. So assuming they put at some point multiple buoys in there with the tackle and the ground tackle, and then, of course, you have your cable landing and stuff, could we assume that that could very well put a prime fishing area in jeopardy on a worst-case basis?
I can't imagine these installations being compatible with boating and especially fishing in the area of the installations. I'll
take that as a yes.
Yeah, but you know, we don't know for sure. I suppose there might be a possibility that, you know, they would say, oh yeah, you can go fish off the you know, the mooring lines, and they'll be, but I don't think that would work out that way. But I don't know for sure.
The other question I have is I've heard at least one opinion that we may be too late in requesting intervener status. Do we know anything about that?
Yeah, I think Chairman of your Harbor Advisory Board, Jim Phillips, has gone through Rule 18 to review the intervener status, and that it would, of course, need to be reviewed by the State Lands Commission and need a lease for use of the area because it is ungranted state lands managed by the State Lands Commission. But they have, at this point, I don't think they've, the policy level, the state, I think we're all seeing, is going in the direction of requiring zero impact, negative impact on the marine environment. So I think many people in the state, and myself also are very skeptical that such an installation could ever be approved for state, because you can't imagine it being installed with zero impact on the marine environment. Just on that issue alone, I think folks, be honest with you, the folks of the State Lands Commission are pretty skeptical on these will ever seriously go forward in state waters, but that's not a formal policy decision on their part yet.
And an informal policy decision, why don't we encourage them to put this thing in a marine closure area now so they don't screw up fishing the rest of the way?
Betty?
I don't have any questions.
Comments?
Yes,
I think it's a good idea that we do this. I was surprised to read that the federal government has refused local and state to propose jurisdictions to have this as a possibility. I would suggest, because in the background, Mr. Algert, you state that the FERC staff responded by email suggesting that the city should correspond. But in the letter asking for status, that FERC recommends the city of Morobay apply. And so I'm just wondering which of those words is closer. I don't know if FERC really recommends things, or if should that word be softened, or are you comfortable with recommends?
I think I'm comfortable with recommends, or you can make a change if you'd like. Certainly either one works.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it, because it's like we're saying then you recommended that we do this, and and if that's clear and that's true, that's fine, but that's not the message I got from the dialogue, and so I was just trying to mesh them together.
Okay. Rick?
Well, since we're talking about words, I don't really like the word intervene, because it kind of denotes putting a stop to or getting in the way of or something like this, when all we're really looking for is a voice in the process. Like Bill said, being able to encourage that they use areas that aren't being used for fishing now, things that we can do to support our fishermen, and being on top of potential revenue that this may bring to the city. So, you know, we could miss out on a lot of stuff by not doing this. I think it's a no-brainer. We need to get involved and let them know that we want a say in what happens out there.
Melody?
Yeah, I hope that all of you people who are worried about the impacts to fishing and the environment will be just as worried when those offshore leases come up again, because the federal government is rattling the cage on offshore oil drilling again. I've read numerous reports about these green wave setup sites, Ocean Protection Council.
I do not. I am not aware that they are yet. I do not know.
Okay. Well, I would just imagine that the state is an intervener in this process. But certainly we should be an intervener because of the impacts that it could have on our harbor. I think it's a great idea to do something like this, but we ought to know how it's going to impact the city.
Okay. I'm sorry. Are you finished?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I didn't mean to rush you. I just thought you were
no,
finished.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay. I have concerns with the wording, too, and that's the first paragraph where it says we have learned that a company called GreenWave Energy Solutions. I'd like to say how we learned, because we weren't notified. So we have learned through another party or something to make it obvious that we were never notified of this, even though it's right off our shores. So however you want to phrase it, I don't know if you want to name the person, or, but maybe the source, you know, through another party, something, so that they understand we didn't delay in our response. We looked into it immediately upon learning of this, and that we absolutely do request intervener status.
So, Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Would there be benefit to sending copies to people besides Congresswoman Capps and Bruce Gibson? I mean, shouldn't we throw them at a couple of senators and a few other folks?
Absolutely. Why not?
I mean,
only cost 41 cents each.
Yeah. Two. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, really. You wonder why all that mail's been coming back, right?
So Mr. Pierce, you're suggesting both U.S. senators and maybe a copy to state lands and state parks as well, and
I would,
the OPC?
Yeah, I would just shotgun it out just so
through
everybody
all the state
knows where
agencies?
We are. Especially when we're sitting here, as Mayor Peters says, going to tell them that we learned this the hard way, and by accident we learned that this is happening, and we're concerned, and I think that we should send it out to everybody.
Okay.
And just a clarification. We don't want to send it out to all state agencies, but I heard some good names there: State Lands Commission, State Parks, Ocean Protection Council, and that's anybody directly affected. And I think we may want to do some additional outreach with the county, because it's in county jurisdiction.
So maybe to the whole board?
Or we may want to think about how we approach a county to see what their level of interest is in assigning a staffer or something like that to work with us, or whether the supervisor himself or one of the supervisors would like to look at it.
Where does the Coastal Commission stand on all this?
It's outside their jurisdiction.
Okay.
I would think.
I'm sure they won't agree with that, but
yeah, I was wondering.
But that's probably what FERC says, yeah.
I brought it up because I'm wondering, should we send them a copy too?
If you'd like.
Wouldn't hurt.
You know?
And I would go beyond just Bruce Gibson. I would put the whole board of supervisors, or at least the county
county supervisors,
a manager. What's his name?
Administrator.
The administrator, county administrator.
Okay. You have enough instruction on that. We need a motion on that.
Move approval of D1.
Second.
As amended and indicated.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
Rick, do you have those quotes out there?
Okay, item D2, consider placing a measure on the ballot to repeal.
I'll open it for any discussion you have. Again, if we're going to repeal it, the language is pretty easy. It just is putting the language on the ballot and repealing it, so I don't think I need too much direction on what language, unless you actually were going to try to amend it, and I don't know how we do that. So I'll open it for any questions or discussion.
One extra piece of information. I did ask Bridget, and she contacted the county. And Julie Rodewald is estimating that our cost for the election will be approximately $12,000 plus the almost $2,400 that all of us paid in candidate statement fees. which you have to do twice when you have two elections.
Are you talking about the past election?
This one that we just had.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
the primary election, $12,000.
That was probably a little bit lower because we had Pismo's sales tax was part of it. So you can imagine if it was just us in the county, it would go up, and if it would go down if maybe some other cities had other measures on there also.
Okay. So to put this on, the general election is minimal because everyone's doing it anyways.
Bridget would know kind of what the average is in the November every 2 years, what we pay. Not minimal, but I would say it's probably half of that, probably 7,000 or 6,000.
I'm not prepared to answer that. Like I said, it all depends on.
But in November every 2 years, all the cities have an election. I remember my research being the low would be 6,000-7,000 historically, all the way up to the, I think someone said 35,000 if there was no one else on.
So we could probably estimate that if Pismo hadn't been part of this, maybe between 15,000 and 20,000. Okay. All right. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay, Naughty.
I always end, so I'll start this time. You know, I was at Farmer's Market the other night and talking to the fellow at the hummus stand, and he says, I know you, don't I? I says, oh, I'm on TV all the time. Oh, yeah, you're on city council. Hey, you tied for mayor, didn't you? And I said, no, you nut. I said, did you vote? And he says, yeah. And then he goes on to say, then I told him about, you know, George and Janice, they came in. Well, they're tied then, aren't they? And it's just like people just don't have, they don't understand. They didn't understand when they signed the petition. They don't understand the primary. It's a continuing confusion about it. So that confusion just signals to me that it's a process that's nonsensical. The other thing that I think one of the public comment speakers made, and I've heard the mayor talk about it several times, is that it does over-politicize the council for far too long, particularly that office. Overly politicizes us in the way we choose to agendize things or talk about things. And it also absorbs your attention terribly to be a candidate. And it's for far too long, especially for the mayor's position. I think, too, it's the cost to the candidates more than it is the cost of the city, even at $12,000, that could have been put to use. Aid agencies would have taken all of that money. But the cost to candidates, and I'm talking about ordinary candidates, how would you raise $12,000 to run two separate campaigns?
The signs and how it affects the mayor's position that I don't care for, and there are extra costs and all this. But, you know, and somebody said, well, they citizens didn't know what they were signing. Well, you know, if you sign something, you should know what you're signing. And if you don't, well, you live with it. But here, the citizens put it forth. It passed. I'm for letting it go at least one full election, and if I decide to run again and to be king in a couple of years, well, I got to go through that whole process too, and it's nothing I'm looking forward to. But by the same token, it was passed by the citizens. I respect that. I think it was 57%. So I feel an obligation to allow it to run its course at least through this election and reevaluate it after that.
Bill?
Well, obviously, if I had preferences, it wouldn't be to run in two elections. And it is stressful, and it's not cheap. But it hasn't run a complete cycle yet. And besides that, more important, it was put on there by gathering signatures and from the public, not us, and it was voted on by the public. And as far as I'm concerned, if it comes off again, somebody's going to have to get the signatures and have the public decide it. I'm not going to sit here and support taking it off when it was the community that put it there in the first place.
Katie?
Well, you're only supporting taking it off by saying that. By putting it on the ballot, you're giving choice. You're not telling people which way to go. You're saying how you feel. I think the three of you being the experienced people, knowing how it was, and I remember 2 weeks ago you were adamantly in favor of putting this on the ballot. So I'm not sure why your tune has been changed unless someone said something to you or intimidated you or whatever, as has happened. I don't think, in my mind, it has run its course. We've seen that it's been confusing. We've seen that as it shakes down, it's happened as it would have happened regardless. I think for all the reasons that have been delineated by all three of you who have spoken so far, that there's good reason to say to the public, this has been the result, this is what's happened, is it really worth it, and you tell us. And if it's going to be on a general election where it's not going to be that much more money anyways, then why not let them voice it while they've just had the experience? I'm not sure what the problem with that is.
Let me jump first.
Let me just one sentence. I did not support it last time.
That's true, you didn't.
I'm the one that said what they're doing actually is considered by some to level the playing field. So I apologize. That was more than one sentence.
No, that's true. That's true, but that's you didn't. Okay. Number one, confusing. Yes, it's new. Every time you try something new the first time, it's going to be confusing. Number two, politicizes discussions and decisions. Yeah, you know, and I try so hard to always be objective, but it does. It gets in your mind, you know. Okay, gosh. But I don't get intimidated that easy. And I've thought a lot about it. What's right here? What's right for the city? And when John Barta, who I don't think anybody thinks that John and I are friends, but when he brought it to us to put on the ballot, we said no. We said he had to go out and do the homework and get it on himself. And I think it's only fair that if this gets repealed, that whoever wants to repeal it has to go out and get the signatures and get it on the ballot too. I don't think it should come from us. I don't think it should come from us simply because we're so intimately involved in it. And that is going to color our feeling on it. And yes, I understand. It's putting it out to the voters to let them decide. But I think that the public needs to be the ones to decide they want to do that. That's what we forced them to do last time. I think it's only fair to do that this time. So I was in favor of bringing it back to discuss because I think a lot of things need to be said. The other thing that I'd like to say is that as we go through this process, I think we've learned some things. I think there's things that we can do to make it work if the public does want to keep it. Things like saying, okay, there's only going to be two forums for the primary and there's only going to be three for the main election, or signs can only be up for a certain period. Don't put your papers away. I'm not finished talking. And I mean, there's things that we can do to make it work better. This is the first time. Yeah, it was confusing, and it has been confusing to people. I understand that. But at the same time, it's the first time. We're learning. And if we take these things and learn from them, you know, consider maybe we do want to make the mayor a four-year term if the primary is going to be difficult. And it is, believe me. The second year of your term, you're campaigning. And that's hard. Again, because it puts so much extra pressure on things that would normally not have that pressure. So, yes, I did want to bring it back for discussion. No, I don't want us to put it on the ballot. If the public wants to put it on the ballot as they did before, then that's great and more power to them. But it's got to come from them, I think, not those of us who are going to be directly affected by it. Yes, Melody.
Sure. I almost feel like asking for an ex parte disclosure here, but I won't. To see who's had a phone call from who. This idea has run its course. It ran its course in the primary. If you don't put it on this November ballot, you would be unlikely probably. But anyway, it has run its course, and people have seen what the impact of it was. But if I could make a little comment. You say that Mr. Barta brought it to us, and so you've brought his name in there. He brought it to council. We didn't want to put it on there because we thought it wasn't a wise idea at that point. So he went out and got signatures. So you're suggesting that if people don't like this, they should get some signatures. And I will just say that what people in this town have to do is you have to learn how to work like Mr. Barta. He works like crazy to get his ideas enacted. And he'll say what needs to be said to get somebody to sign something. So, and he does a lot of things to get his way. And the other people have to learn how to do that, too, to work just as hard and to push just as hard. And I would recommend that citizens start a movement to get rid of this primary, because it looks like we won't.
Any other comments? All right. Anybody want to try a motion?
The various other funds do the same thing.
I'd support that.
Okay. I'd like to see that, too. Okay.
Okay. My other one. And this is going to be just really get me very popular in some circles. I want us to switch to a zero-based budget. It has nothing to do with what they had last year. It's what do they need this year, starting from zero. Typically, when you do zero-based budgets, you find you can save a little money over the previous year when you switch to it. So that's the other thing I want to do, is have us switch to zero-based budgeting.
We may be able to discuss that in our goals and priorities thing.
Well, we need some support to put it somewhere first.
Future agenda, Betty?
Dick? I would support it.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I would support it, too. You have any future agenda items?
Oh.
Melanie?
Yeah. I'd like to agendize a presentation by Richard and Marla on the nitrate reports that they've written and the information that they've brought forward. Mm-hmm. Just saying that because I've read the reports and had students compare cleath and nitrate reports for me in one of the classes I just taught. So I'd be interested, and I think the public would be interested. And I don't know that we need to do a 30-minute presentation, perhaps a 20-minute presentation, to just let them come at the beginning of a meeting and tell us what they told PWEB.
Okay. Do we have support for that?
Do you want me to – I can give you kind of an update because I was at the PWEB meeting on what's going to occur, so maybe schedule and you can think about.
Thank you.
They made their presentation. I was at the PWEB. Because it was just a presentation, no action could be taken. So, and they're not meeting in July, so it's coming back at the August meeting for PWEB to make recommendations to the City Council, which could be to make the presentation here. It could be to, one of them would be to have Cleath and Associates respond to the report, because obviously that's going to take it. Time and costs that staff doesn't feel comfortable letting the expert do until the council does that. So with that in mind, do you want to do it before the August meeting? Do you want to wait till after that so it comes back at the exact same time as the PWEB recommendations?
I think it should come back with the PWEB presentations, but I think it should certainly get on our agenda planning guide. They have lots of important information to add to the Cleath study. And things that I think the council should know about and the public should know about.
And that was staff's plan anyway, so we'll get it on the agenda. It was to have it go to PWEB in August and then come to you with their recommendations along with staff recommendations.
And that presentation is?
And that presentation is the same one.
Thank you.
Okay. I would agree with that, too. Question, on our goal-setting meeting on Monday, is that going to be televised on AGP? Why AGP?
It's in the, we're having it in the lounge, so it will, at this point, we haven't talked to PG&E about televising it. If they did, it would not be live.
Okay. All right. So we don't know if that'll be. Okay. And is that open to the public?
Yes. If you'll recall, it is open to the public, but there is no public comment.
Okay. All right. And I believe, Betty, you have the closing quote.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you.
Wise words. We're adjourned.